Hello, everyone. It's Susan Demaray. I'm hosting the call tonight. We're waiting for Dr. Rita Marie, and I think Jan Chamberlain is joining us as well. I'm going to unmute everyone here. Jan, are you here on the call?
I finally am now.
Hey.
I just phoned
Hi.
In. Hi. I am also in the back panel here.
Okay.
Are you in the back office too, Susan?
I am, yeah.
Okay,
I do have
so that's
the...
me that says cell phone Utah. So
okay,
I'm finally on now.
Awesome, thank you. And I've got the chat log here in a Google document. So I thought we would cover some of that first. And I think what I'll do is mute everyone except you, Jan, and I'll get the recording going.
Okay, and you can go ahead and mute me as well. I'm babysitting grandchildren, so
okay.
Better mute me. I can unmute myself if I need to talk. I'll mute and raise my hand.
Okay, all right, here we go. Okay, I'm just setting the recording here, and we're in progress. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Sweet Spot Solution call. I'm Susan Demaray, and I'm hosting the call this evening. It's really nice of you to join us here. I have Lynn Chamberlain on the call, and we're waiting for Dr. Rita Marie to join the call as well. She's just arrived recently at her destination and is getting settled in. In the meantime, I wanted to congratulate everybody for all the hard work that you've done. You're a third of the way through. Congratulations. And I'm sure, you know, I'm reading the Facebook posts. Everybody else is reading it too, probably. But, you know, there are waves of things going well and waves of things not going so well. And, you know, you just ride the tide. What I'm going to do first, just to kind of get everybody in the same mindset, is have a breathing exercise so that we can just kind of get grounded into ourselves. So whether you're standing or whether you're seated, if you are seated, come to the edge of the seat of your chair. And have some space for your arms to be able to rise up and extend upwards and to come back down again. And we're just going to do some deep inhalations and deep exhalations through the nose with the arms rising up. You can close your eyes on the outside and open the eyes on the inside. And then exhale. Let the arms float down on the breath. And then let the breath initiate the movement, inhaling. Take the arms up on the breath and exhale the arms down. And inhale the arms up. And exhale the arms down. Let your hands rest on your thighs and keep your eyes closed just for a moment and do a check-in and just feel energetically any shift that might have occurred from just being with your breath, letting your mind take a back seat for a moment. And then open your eyes. Okay, I know I feel better after doing that. I hope everybody else does too. I'm going to go in and out of the chat log and the Q&As that have come in. And so we're going to start off with a question from Montserrat. The question is, if you take slippery elm, do you also need to take zinc, since slippery elm has zinc? What was the recommended brand for bitters? And what do you think about Herbiflora? Dr. Rita Marie's just texted me and she's trying to get in. let me see here.
Hello.
Are you there?
I made it.
Woo. Hi. Welcome.
Hi, Ordeal. Hi. Hello, everybody. I see Lynn's on. I thought Lynn was just about ready.
Oh, Lynn is on here. Lynn, what are you doing here? Go back to the ballet. We do have Jan here. I just was just starting in the chat log, Dr. Rita Marie. Do you have access to the chat log that's in the drive?
I have the link. Do I have the link?
It's actually in the squeaky
bottom. Give me the link. I can look to see if I can find it. All right. Hang on, everybody. We just had a major ordeal.
That's okay.
Here, so
I can read the question
here,
out loud.
And, of course, it's Susan, and we're going to give you all the support you need. But it'll look to see where your questions are. I can go ahead and start
reading them out loud. How's that sound?
Evelyn puts it in the chat. I guess I can see it. Or if you put it in the chat, I can see it.
I'll put them all in the chat. How's that?
Are you hearing me?
I can hear you fine.
Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Why am I in there twice?
I don't know.
Now I'm not hearing anybody anymore. Is it?
Lynn should be on. Can you hear me, Rita Marie? Lynn is on.
Hello?
Lynn?
Hi, we can hear you.
I'm not hearing you anymore. Now I'm in there three times.
Oh, you are.
I
see you here twice.
I tried calling it on the phone. Somebody would give me the number.
Okay, I just muted her three times. She said she's calling in again.
Okay. So she should show up as someone else here. We're unmuted. Oh, Susan, you're muted. There.
Oh.
Now you're unmuted. You're unmuted now.
Thank you. Okay, Dr. Rita Marie, are you there? I hear something.
All right. I believe you. Okay.
There we go. Rita
Marie? There. I muted all of the other ones but your cell phone.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Perfect.
I don't know what happened. All of a sudden it was all of a sudden there were three of me in there and I couldn't, and then I stopped hearing you, so I had to call in on my cell phone.
Okay, well, tell you what, I can start by reading the questions out loud. Does that work for you?
Yeah, we saw that. Let's just start with an intro. I'll get the recording started, and we'll start from scratch. And then, you can, if you have the link to the chat log.
Well, I've already started the recording, and if you'd like, I can stop it.
We'll stop the recording since it was just gibberish and garbage at the beginning. Okay. I started answering.
Okay, I've just stopped it.
I'll stop the recording. Okay. So go ahead and are you in where you can start it or should I start it?
I am where I can start it. Are you going to do the intro, Dr. Rita Marie?
I'll do the intro, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to start it now. 1, 2, 3, go.
All right. So hello, everybody, and welcome. We are having a fun time tonight that is allowing us to practice our heart math and our de-stress activities. Thank you so much for being here. I wasn't supposed to be here tonight because I've traveled today, and I usually don't like to schedule calls on travel days for just the reason that's what happened. And anyway, but Lynn had something going on with her mom and needed to go take care of that. So I said I would cover it. I would have plenty of time. Well, as luck would have it, that didn't work out. And the first room they put me in had was mold infested and I couldn't stay. I immediately got a headache and stuffy nose. You know, so moved me to a new room and here we are. Yay. So I'm so happy to be here. I'm so happy to have Susan here. And it sounds like Jan is on as well. So Jan, thank you for being here as well. And I don't see you there. I see Lynn, but I don't see, maybe you logged in as Lynn or something. Anyway, so I'm happy to be here to support you guys in however you want to be supported, need to be supported. And I know a lot of you have already put in questions in advance. And usually what we like to do is go through the questions in advance first, and then we'll open up the lines, love to talk to you. But what I really want to do first is actually, well, two things. I want to introduce Susan, who is going to be here with me. Susan is one of our functional nutrition coaches. She coaches a bunch of people in our ERC program and also at the private coaching component of Sweet Spot. So some of you know Susan because you have private calls with her. And she's an amazing coach. She's a yoga instructor. She's really versed in the calming and the Eastern types of philosophies. But she's also an amazing, I would just say, I don't want to use the word biochemist, but she's really good with labs and managing supplements, and she's done this with her parents. And she's very gifted, and she's very talented, and she's very dedicated. So I am honored to have her here tonight with us to answer questions. So between us, we'll cover all your questions. And one of the things I want to address right up front, and Susan might have some good input to that. So Susan, go ahead and say hi to everybody before I keep blabbing.
Hello, everybody. It's Susan Demaree. Nice to be here. Congratulations on getting a third of the way through in your metabolic reset. And I'm ready to go. I'm very excited about the call to.
I am too. And, you know, I want to start with a heart math, and then I want to go with, there's a bunch of questions that have been coming up on Facebook, and I think between Susan and I, we can really handle it because it's, just specific questions about motivation, and I wanted to tell everybody how that's so normal at this point in the game. This is the hardest part. That first 10 days is really the hardest part. So breathe. You've just made it through the hardest part. So I'm going to go ahead and just lead us through a heart math. So what I'd love you to do is put your right hand over your heart, your left hand over your belly, close your eyes, get comfortable, and just take some long, slow, deep breaths. Fully inhale. When you get to the end of the inhale, hold it there for a few seconds, and then let it go. And just really linger on your exhale. Your exhale is the part of the breath that really pushes you into that parasympathetic component, that part where you, your nervous system relaxes, your vagus nerve gets activated, your digestion hums, your heart, your lungs, everything is in healing and resting mode. And that's where we want to be, because life throws us in the other direction so often. So take a few more long, slow, deep breaths, breathing from your belly, filling your belly first, and then up through your chest. And then out. And then on your next breath, breathe in a memory, a visualization, something that brings you joy, a place, people, solitary by yourself with a pet, something old that's happened and you just love to bring it back, something in the future that you're dreaming of, something that brings you joy, and just let sit with that. We've all come from different places. It's late in the day. Maybe you had a brilliantly beautiful, easy day, and maybe you had a rough day. But either way, let's just melt in to the relaxation.
And rest in mode. And that's where we want to be because life throws us in the other direction so often. We take a few more long, slow, deep breaths.
Somebody was echoing me. Awesome. And then just hold on to that and just allow your heart to be filled with appreciation for who you are, for all your experiences, positive and the negative. They all shape who you are. A lot of people I know talk about the fact that your message is your message. You can bring forward, what did you get? How did those hard experiences shape you? And how did those beautiful experiences shape you? And how could you take all that into your future where you're no longer allowing the stress and anxiety and not good enough messages to get in the way of your health? Your health is your most precious gift, your most precious gift. And nothing is worth losing it over. One of my favorite quotes is, nothing tastes as good as healthy feels. Nothing smells as good as healthy feels. If you're addicted to those endocrine disrupting perfumes, let those go too. So take a couple of more slow deep breaths, and then let's come back and let's get together and let's just really celebrate. I'd love to take a moment to just celebrate that you're here. Celebrate that you've been doing the metabolic reset, whether you're one day into it or 10 days into it or going to be starting soon. Just celebrate that you're here. Celebrate that you're engaged in this process. Yeah. And Susan, if you have anything to add about that in terms of the relaxation mode, because you're just such a, that's just such your specialty. Go ahead and I'll open up your, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, well, we actually had done some breathing practice before you came on. So I think everybody's chilled out by now.
Well, good. I didn't feel like I was that late. I thought I had just come in 2 minutes late. That's good. Okay. Awesome. So the thing I wanted to address, and Susan, you can chime in on here too, because I know you have, I've seen some soothing messages for you. What I'm seeing lately, just over the last day or two, is people saying, you know, I was really doing great, I'm just so sick of eating salads, and I'm feeling like I just want whatever, an old comfort food. And I'm not motivated anymore. But I want you to know that that's what happens in that first 10 days. What's happening is your body is actually shifting gears to learning how to burn fat more than glucose. And it can be an uncomfortable place for some people. And I've mentioned this before, that first 14 to 17 days is actually where that happens. Some people adapt much sooner. Personally, I'm so lucky because I adapt much sooner, and I don't go through that for 14 days. I just go through it for 24 hours. But it is something that's normal, and your body's suddenly going, give me that rice, give me that bread, give me that pasta. I'm not good at burning fat yet, and I need some sugar. My brain needs some sugar. But if you hang in there, you will get through it. And all the while, those insulin receptors are getting stronger and healthier. And I saw a couple of people who've been in this before doing it again, saying how, now I can eat watermelon again, and now I can eat these certain foods again as long as I'm conscious about how I eat it, as long as I'm doing my greens with it to slow things down. So this isn't the diet you're going to be following forever. This is the cleanse, the reset process. We're going to take you through a transition period, and then we're going to move you into maintenance. So the best is yet to come, is figuring that out. And some people need to go through the reset for longer. Like if you've been diabetic for 30 years and you're working on reversing it, you may have to go through the reset process a little bit longer than somebody who's just at the pre-insulin resistance stage. And wherever you are, I encourage you to just allow yourself to be there. If you're annoyed and angry and you're getting annoyed and angry at yourself for being annoyed and angry, let it go. Be gentle with yourself. Just let it go. And just really go into that appreciation as much as you possibly can. And I know it's challenging. I was having a little bit of a challenge as I was trying to get here, and they were telling me that they couldn't change my room and they would just send somebody to change the filter, and I was arguing that that wasn't going to work for me. It was hard for me to get into that mode. I kept pushing myself and breathing. And here we are. So I want to just support you in that and know that that's where you are. If you have the Keto Mojo and you have the ketone strips, test your ketones and let's see where they are. It'd be really good to once a day is all you need to do it. You don't have to do it after every meal. Do it in the morning or at night and test your ketones and see. And as you see those ketone levels creeping up a little bit, they may not go that high. They may only go to 0.5 or 0.9. You'll start to see yourself calming down a little bit more because your body's going, oh, I got some rump fat cells that I can burn. I got some fat cells on my calves that I can burn. And it can start to burn the fat that you're eating as well as the fat that's on your body. So I don't know if Susan has anything more to add, but that's the stuff I kept seeing over and over and over again. And I wanted you to just know that it's normal and it's happy about this as you might have been 2 days ago. You might be grumpy, and then tomorrow you might wake up really happy again. Just let it go. Just let it be.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say that you're changing the vibration in your body. You're eating high vibration food right now, and so things are shifting energetically and in all the other ways that Dr. Rita Marie just talked about. But, energetically, you're raising your vibration and you're going to feel that. And there are going to be moments where it might be challenging and other moments where it might be exhilarating. And in those moments when it's challenging, that's the time to do your heart math or any other kind of calming practice. Or put on a song, your favorite song, blast your stereo and dance. You know, just bust it up and, you know, change, basically transform the energy, right? Because you know it's going to change. You can help it change.
That's right. That's right. We can totally help it change. And it's a matter of, it's changing the state and changing the energy, but it's also throwing in some fun into the mix, right? And it's throwing in some self-thing, because that's the reason we reach for foods. Like if you're missing a food, like a food is just a food, for God's sake. Really, it's just some way to get nourishment. And why are certain foods, if you don't eat them for a while, you're like, oh, I just want that. Or versus if you were deprived of, well, maybe some of you would be deprived of broccoli for a long time, you wouldn't be craving it. But I will say that happens too, because my son, as he was heading home from Jordan last summer, was like, I can't wait to get home and eat broccoli. So it does happen with that stuff too, that your body misses the stuff that's nourishing. But at this point, it's probably missing some of the comfort foods. So I ask you to just sit with, how else can you comfort yourself besides food? Unfortunately, we've all got that food as comfort programming, or most of us do anyway. I know I did, from when you were little and you fell and hurt your knee and they gave you candy or a lollipop, and everything was soothed with food. And so no wonder we grow up with all kinds of food addictions and a disrupted relationship with food, because mom and dad, oh, you can go potty training, here's some M&Ms. Like, seriously, what do M&Ms have to do with potty training? But we've been programmed from early on that when we're hurt, it's soothing to get these comfort foods. And so it really takes a lot of effort when we're in our 30s or 40s or 50s or 60s or even 70s. And it's been a long time. So be gentle on yourself and make a list of all the self-soothing behaviors that you can do. Take a bath, stick your feet under the water, put on music like Susan said and dance, or just put on soft music and just mellow out with it. Open up a book of paintings or beautiful scenery, just something that's soothing, knitting. I know some of you do pottery or painting or artistic. Take a pad and start drawing. But do something soothing, and I would recommend that you all do something soothing every day. Every day. Try to take 5 minutes. That's going to make this process so, so much easier. And keep your end in mind, whether it be writing your end goal in mind or drawing it in a beautiful picture or a collage or something or vision board. But why are you doing this, right? What are you trying to move towards?
There's things you're trying to move towards. There's things you're trying to move away from. And keep that in mind, because when things get tough and you can keep the reason in mind, it makes it so much easier. That makes sense? Great. I see some folks on here that did post and were having some trouble, and I know you got great support, and I just want to thank everybody for all the amazing support you're giving each other. I'm just blown away, and sometimes I'm driven to tears as I read your Facebook posts and the support and the love that's pouring out from one person to the next. I think it's phenomenal, and I'm just so thrilled with it. So we're here to answer your questions. Some of you have typed in questions in advance. The way it works, for those of you who may have not been on a call before, is we'll go through some of the questions that have been typed in advance, and then raise your hand, because my favorite part is not answering questions that have been typed in. My favorite part is talking to you. And, you know, between Susan and I, we'll answer your questions. So, Susan, you want to take it away? You want to read the questions, and then you can get to choose to answer them or defer them to me. How's that?
Okay. I'm going to start with Gabriella Klein. Hello, Dr. Rita Marie. I'm not doing the metabolic reset as I am dealing with mycotoxins, but I am testing my glucose before and after meals according to your instructions to see which foods spike it. The strange thing is that during the 2 hours, my glucose can be all over the place, way down or slightly up after 15 minutes, then up and down, and never back to the before meal level after 2 hours. Sometimes it spikes at 1.5 hours or even at 2 hours. My highest spike was with rice at 134, a jump of 32, so that's definitely out. My starting level is between 95 and 110, and I'm certain that I have insulin resistance. My rising morning glucose is between 95 and 107, usually after a fast of 12 hours or more. My hemoglobin A1C is 6.3. Are you able to make sense of these fluctuations for me? Another question, could a medicinal herbal mixture cause these fluctuations? Perhaps I should go with just water for the 2 hours after a meal when I'm testing. Many thanks.
Okay, so that last part I didn't quite understand, because usually you do go with just water 2 hours after a meal, right? After your meal, you're into fasting mode. And so if you are taking herbal tinctures, right, there's alcohol or glycerin in there. That could be causing it, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Steve?
Yeah, I agree. I think she's answering her own question, actually. Right? She's saying, perhaps I should just go with water. So I think she's on to something here. You know, ask the questions to yourself. You tried the rice. You see what happened with the rice. Definitely, you know, we know what that's going to do. And, you know, if you're going to fluctuate like that, then I would say that you'd want to at least keep it, below 20 points, not going higher than 20 points, right, from wherever you are, and track it.
Right, and then just figure out those foods. And if you're getting discrepancies, like one day, red bell peppers cause your sugar to go up, and the next day it doesn't, then I'd also look at the other things. Like if you're suffering from mycotoxin exposure, just to press on your body the toxicity. So say when you're home, if you're in an environment where it's toxic versus, you know, you're out in the fresh air, you're going to see a difference because there's less stress on your body. But I will say that given those numbers, you're clearly in the insulin resistant or, you know, pre-insulin resistant, but definitely there with your 6.4 on the hemoglobin A1C and with the fasting being high. So all I would say is, isolate those foods that you know are going to be problematic. And given your starting numbers, I think that, you know, the grains and the starchy foods are probably going to be out. And really sticking with that more strict metabolic reset, unless you're super, super skinny, let's find something that, you know, it keeps you from withering away to nothingness. But I would say you probably just want to stick with a lot of the vegetables and the healthy fats.
Yeah, and I also look at sleep because with the mycotoxins, it could affect the sleep.
Absolutely.
So, you know, that could be causing spikes as well.
Especially, and we don't know your whole story, Gabrielle, but if you're still in the environment where the toxins are, I mean, I know for a fact I walked into that hotel room and within minutes my head started pounding and my sinuses got stuffed up. So being in that over and over, and I'm still feeling a little bit in this new room, so I got the window open and I'm going to ask for another room, or I'll sleep out on the deck. But when you're sleeping in that environment, it's constant, right? If it's in the air conditioning ducts, if it's behind the refrigerator, wherever the mold might be, even if you're out of it or they've cleaned out the filters, the molds are in anything that's porous. Right, anything that's porous. So a lot of folks end up having to get rid of all their possessions, unfortunately. You know, down to books even, because book paper is porous and it absorbs the toxins and you reinfect yourself. And not everybody's that sensitive, but it's a very tough time. And I would say the sooner you can get into the metabolic reset like stuff, I mean, I would continue your testing maybe for a few more days or a week and then just jump right in because those insulin receptors need resetting.
Yeah, and it's going to be different for everybody. You know, it's the 30-day metabolic reset it's not carved in stone. It's, you know, it's malleable. It just depends on the individual.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely, and how long it's been going on. And with the hemoglobin A1C at 6.4,
mm-hmm.
It's going to take you longer than somebody with a 5.4 because it just reflects that it's been out of control for a longer period of time.
Yeah. Okay. The next question is from Andrea. Andrea has good news. She's slowly losing weight. She's lost 5 pounds in the last month. Blood pressure went down a few points to below 120 over 80, and GERD is almost non-existent. Yay, Andrea!
Woo! Yeah. Good job! Yay!
And then she has not so good news, which is that she's starting to get heart palpitations, and she's wondering if she could be deficient in vitamin B12 because before she started the program, she ate a lot of eggs and occasionally some chicken and fish. Should she get a B-complex or a B12 supplement?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say. Like, if you don't become B12 deficient that quickly from stopping it, actually your liver can store up to 7 years worth of B12. In some cases, want more, in some cases, less. But so, I mean, it could be B12. It could be that you were borderline deficient before and you have low stomach acid or intrinsic factor problems. It certainly wouldn't hurt. I would probably, if you're suspecting, if that's what your feeling is about it, is that it's related to B12, then I would say I would get a sublingual B12 or a liposomal liquid B12 and just see if that makes a difference. But when I hear palpitations, I'm generally thinking in this regard, right, when we're shifting into a more fat-burning versus carb-burning mode, is that your blood sugars might be dipping a bit more than you think they are or if you're not checking it out. So I want to know how the timing of the palpitations are. Is it you're getting palpitations between meals? Are you waking up with palpitations? And then there's a whole bunch more questions I'd want the answers to. Maybe you can chime in there with some of the stuff you're thinking too, Susan. But are there other questions like sweating, losing? You're not losing weight rapidly. You only lost 5 pounds. So, I mean, that's I don't mean only. It's a good thing. But,
yeah.
But, I mean, it's not like I just lost 5 pounds in 3 days, you know. And then I'm starting to think, well, maybe you're hyperthyroid kind of thing. But I don't think that's it. But I want to know the timing of the palpitations, because when it's between meals, it's often that there's a dip in between the meals. So that's where I would go with that.
Okay.
What about you?
Okay. The questions that I would ask is stress level. Maybe something could be causing some stress. And also I'm thinking magnesium deficiency.
Yeah.
So one thing that I thought I'd suggest is some Epsom salt bath. And maybe getting some magnesium lotion. There's the Remag lotion that's just out on the market now by Dr. Carolyn Dean, and you could even rub that into the area, in the heart area. You know, and energetically, the heart chakra is green, right? So lots of greens to feed that heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good ideas. Great ideas.
Okay. So next one is from Sarah Troyer. She had a bout of shingles in February. Symptom-free during the prep month and the first week of the reset, but symptoms started to flare up again a few days ago. Per her practitioner's directions, she took a mega dose of lysine and had an IV of 25 grams of vitamin C to head off a full-blown recurrence. Obviously, the vitamin C blew up her blood sugar for part of the day. 217, 1 hour after infusion, then came down 24 points every hour until back at 100 at 6.5 hours past infusion. Also ate a meal during those 6 hours. For reference, she had maybe only 2 to 3 readings over 150 the whole test month. She's saying she feels like she needs to put the reset aside for a bit while she focuses on the lysine-arginine ratio of her food to stabilize herself. Lastly, many of the other components of the reset will be ideal to continue, but the food part would be difficult knowing that she still needs to improve her insulin resistance. Her question is, what advice would you have when she restarts the reset, since almost the entire nut and seed category and things like blueberries are high arginine foods? She can and does take a lysine supplement currently, but understands that it should not be a long-term practice.
Okay. Do you have any thoughts on that? Because I have a few.
Well, I guess there are many other foods that can be eaten other than the high lysine foods that she talks about here. So I kind of feel like, you know, that she doesn't have to stop the reset, that she could actually still continue it, but just avoid the nut and seed category and the blueberries. Anything that's high arginine, she can just avoid. But I think it's important that she continue the practice of the reset, just to set the matrix, even if her readings aren't perfect, if she is challenged. But to just, you know, put herself in the flow of that, because I think once she steps out of it, it's going to be really difficult to start back up again.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. And I would look at the chart of foods and just say, okay, cross out the high arginine foods out of the green column and just go from there and see what you can do. And, yeah, like Susan said, it's occasionally – there's nothing left to eat except a sweet potato. You have a sweet potato and maybe it raises your blood sugar a little bit, but I think that you can do it. A coconut's not high in arginine, neither is avocado. So it's really the nuts and seeds and chocolate and the blueberries that are the mainstays. I think arugula is a little bit high in arginine. But it's also a balance thing too. So you don't have to completely eliminate arginine, because it's an essential amino acid. So you can't eliminate it. So it's a matter of balance, right? So if you're taking, you could take 2,000 milligrams of lysine every day for 3 months and not have a problem. I know people who take it for years just because they don't want the herpes recurrence. So that's what I would recommend. Exactly what Susan said, just I would take that green section and anything that in the yellow section that has shown up that's okay for you, and take that and just cross off everything else that's high arginine and do that for a couple of weeks and then play with, you know, adding some of that stuff back. I don't think you have to give it up. And there's the food is just one component, like Susan said, right? You still doing your stress management. So you're still in the reset. And people have this thing about, oh, I got to start it over or I can't do it now. Seriously, you should be eating in a way that keeps your blood sugar in a healthy range forever, right?
It's just during the reset we're a little bit more strict, and then we're going to test to see what things we can add back in. But I think the reset is really a lifestyle thing. And like I think it was Marcia had said on the Facebook thing, it's like, well, I'm off of all of this stuff now, and I would love to have watermelon. Yeah, you probably will have watermelon. You're going to figure out how to have watermelon so it doesn't raise your sugar, how to eat it in a relaxed, non-stressed way, how to eat it with greens, and how to balance your life. So I wouldn't give it up. And anybody who hasn't started it yet, just start it and just say, I'm in the reset. Like mentally, this is a great point that Susan made. Just mentally say, I'm in it. I may not be perfect because I'm a human being, but I'm in it right now and I'm doing really well. I've been not doing real well with one particular component of the reset, which is, well, two, because one leads to the other, which is the sleep, because I've been so busy I haven't been able to do my 7-8 hours a night of sleep. And what that does is throws off my timing, and I end up eating too late at night. But I'm not saying I'm not doing a reset. I'm doing a lot of good stuff, and I'm testing my sugar, and my ketones are staying in a decent range. My sugar is staying in a decent range. I'm just having to be more careful on my food. I was going to grab a piece of mango to stick in my salad bar earlier as I was driving here. And I was like, no, you haven't been sleeping enough to eat mango. So you just adjust that, right? But I think it's a mindset of I'm in this reset, which is a period of just healing. It's a healing period. And yeah, I would say just do what you can. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I think we all get attached to doing things perfectly, and it's just not realistic. It's just not, you know, there's going to be some days that are better than others. There's going to be days when you're more disciplined than others, but you just keep working on it. And it's a practice.
Totally. It's a lifestyle too. We're not Jenny Craig here, guys. We're not Jenny Craig. We're not Weight Watchers. We're just going to do this until you reach your goal weight, and then you're going back to Cheetos. Or maybe you're just having metered amounts of Cheetos along with, you know, it's not what this is. This is about a healthy lifestyle, a healthy diet, not just diet either, right? Somebody can be eating impeccably and have their numbers all over the map when there's environmental stressors, when there's emotional stressors, when there's sleep stressors and lack of movement. So.
Okay. Next question. Actually, Allison from India had three questions. The first question is regarding exercise, what's the difference between burst training and high intensity? Second question is low fat. Go ahead.
I think they're the same. Some people might call it high intensity, but it's short bursts of high intensity. So high intensity exercise, like if somebody goes and jogs and you know, they run like a mile, a 4-minute mile, that's a pretty high-intensity exercise, but it's not really a burst because it's 4 minutes. It's not the 30 seconds, right? If they were doing a sprint, that's a burst. So that's kind of the difference. You can do high-intensity, long-duration exercise or ultra-high-intensity, short-duration. That's the only difference. But you might see it listed as high-intensity or interval training.
Mm-hmm.
Burst training, all the same thing.
And, you know, I was also going to suggest that she go back to the fitness module because there's chock full of information there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And also, I think she might still have room, but check out the link we gave you for Maria's class. I think she might have one or two more of those left. It might be Friday, might be the last one, but those classes have been incredible for teaching people little tips and tricks. We're doing alternating with aerobic type exercise with the high intensity of the bursts.
Yeah, I think she just posted on the main page of the new Vitality page. I forget what it's called, but I think she posted something or someone did that she had some more space available.
Oh, great. Super.
Yeah. Okay, next question from Allison. Is a low fasting insulin a result of concern? Mine was low, 1.38, even though my hemoglobin A1C was high at 5.8. What might that be indicating?
Oh, boy.
I guess my question is, what was her fasting glucose at the same time that she had her fasting insulin done?
Oh,
Yes, and the 1-point-something is not necessarily a red flag in and of itself, but it is if, again, right, if the fasting glucose is high. But to me, it says, what did she say the hemoglobin A1C was, like 5.8?
5.8, yeah. 5.8.
Yeah, 5.8. That's on the high side. So it could mean that your pancreas just isn't producing enough insulin. So whenever I see a lower than what I'm expecting fasting insulin, I like to see it 2.5 to 3. If I see it much lower, then I'm usually going to recommend having what's called a postprandial insulin so that eat your highest carb meal. And your highest carb meal might be blueberries and chia porridge, right? And somebody else's highest carb meal might be something else. You eat your highest carb meal and you see if your body can produce insulin in response to that. And that's the thing. So it could be an indication of a latent, something called WADA, which is an autoimmune kind of a diabetes. It's not truly diabetes, but I'm not saying you have diabetes, but I'm saying it could be leading in that direction, which is why what Susan said was so right on. What was your fasting glucose or what was your glucose at that same time? But if your glucose was high and your fasting insulin is low, then that needs to be checked further, and I would be doing some antibody testing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess the other question, too, is, you know, how is she, what are her numbers looking like during the reset, right? You know, so I think that's as much as we're going to be able to answer. The last question from Allison is, in what cases would you advise taking berberine during the reset? I have some, and I'm wondering whether to use it. And what do you think about L-glutamine as a supplement?
Okay, so that's two questions. So in terms of berberine, usually when I start people on the basics, right, the chromium, magnesium, DHA, most people are low in them, and it gives you a lot of improvement. And then if you go into the nutrition module where I go into much more detail, I talk about here's others. So if you're seeing your numbers shifting, but you're not seeing as much of a shift as you'd like, if you're not losing weight at the rate you'd like to lose weight, or your numbers aren't coming into place the way you'd like them to come into place, then that's a time to add some of these other things. Berberine is phenomenal. In addition to helping with your glucose, it supports your liver, it supports gut health, it's supporting your neurotransmitter health. So it's certainly a great way to do it. I've been drawn to Oregon Grape, which is a good source of berberine. And I started taking it because people are coming. Oops. What happened there? Somebody's got to mute
a new person. Yeah. For some reason, the auto mute's not happening, so I'm having to mute people as they come on board.
Let me, there's a way to put it on. It's because you have it on interactive, and she individually turns people off. You got to put it on Q&A, lecture mode.
A lecture? Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just put it on. Yeah. So I think go for it and just see what happens. The time to go, oh, maybe I should stop this, would be, whoa, my numbers are getting way too low. I'm having, you know, hypoglycemic lows. It's going too low. So I would do the equivalent of 500 milligrams 3 times a day is what the studies did when they compared it to metformin. And with berberine, I like to see it rotated on and off. So maybe you do it for a month and you take a week off, or you do it for 5 days and then you take 2 days off. But rotation tends to be good, especially with any kind of herb that has some antimicrobial effects, because you don't want the critters to go develop some resistance to it.
Yep. And you want to take it with food.
Say it again.
And you want to take it with food.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't always.
Oh, you don't?
But
oh, okay.
Probably, no, I don't follow the rules very much. But with supplements, I just take it when I feel like or I notice it and I feel like taking it. So I don't generally take it with food.
Okay. And then.
Yeah, I think it's different for the person.
What do you think about L-glutamine as a supplement? My question is, for what?
Before.
Yeah, it's a great supplement, but, I guess if you need it, I don't know how to answer that. It depends.
Yeah, so you already did. That was perfect, if you need it. So what do you want to take it for? A lot of people want to take it for leaky gut. Now, some people, not a huge number of people, but some people have a problem with glutamine and that it makes them anxious, irritable, cranky. And the reason for that is if they have a particular genetic SNP, for those of you who don't know what those are, it's like what people call genetic defects are really SNPs. They're single nucleotide polymorphisms. They're basically a slight change in your genetics that makes functioning different. And if you got this particular genetic SNP called GAD, glutamic acid decarboxylase, your body can't break down glutamate efficiently into GABA. And so you end up feeling more excitable. So some people are very sensitive to that. I'd say autistic kids tend to be very sensitive to glutamine, and we don't give glutamine to autistic kids. So in that case, now Cancer Summit came out a couple of years ago, and there was some doctor on there that was talking about how glutamine, he would never give it to people with cancer. And I haven't seen a lot of research on that. There was a lot of controversy over that, but that's certainly something to research and consider and make a decision for yourself. But, yeah, it's a great leaky gut supplement.
Okay. I'm going to give you one more question from the pre-posted questions, and then maybe we'll take something from the chat and then, kind of go free form. Mm-hmm. How does that sound?
That sounds great. Star 2 in your telephone pad will do it.
So from Denise, my doctor recommended I take white kidney bean extract to help with weight loss. I stopped taking it when I joined the Sweet Spot Solution because I've significantly lowered my carb intake, but was planning on starting it again when I start reintroducing some healthy carbs into my diet. Does white kidney bean extract have any effect on blood sugar and insulin levels?
Yeah, absolutely, it does, and that's why your doctor or whoever told you to take it. It totally does, and it helps to maintain them. The reason it's not one of the supplements I do talk about in here is because it's not, I'm not saying it's not safe, but I'm not 100% convinced of its safety like I am with magnesium and DHA and berberine, but it certainly does have an effect on the way the body handles carbs. The reason, let me think about this, the mechanism that it does it in, it almost like it tricks the body into not absorbing the carbs, is what I'm thinking.
That's right.
So it will definitely have effects, but it tricks the body into not absorbing the carbs, which could be problematic. So
yeah.
That's why I was a little concerned about it.
Yeah, because it basically blocks amylase. Right. So if you're not digesting your carbs, first of all, you're not benefiting nutritionally from whatever it is that you're eating.
Right.
Right. And then it's going to go somewhere. It could cause gas. It could, it could cause diarrhea. I mean, it's not, if it's not digested properly, then I think it's going to cause other problems.
That's right. That's the reason I didn't include it. And blocking amylase. You think, okay, so that means, oh, great, I can eat a sandwich and just take this white kidney bean extract and I won't absorb the carb and I can still get the pleasure in eating the sandwich. But there's a downside to that. Amylase is a starch digestion enzyme. Everything, all of our vegetables have starch in them to a different degree than, say, a potato does or than pasta does, but they all do. So what happens when we don't break that down? We're not able to actually extract all the nutrition from that food. And for people who have problems with gas and bloating, like SIBO kind of problems, it
right.
definitely can feed, because now you've got these undigested carbs going down there, and they're like having a field
yep.
day digesting this carb, and it could end up backfiring on you.
Yeah, it's just not an ideal thing to take there are better things to take than that, that are going
right.
to have less effect. Okay, on to the chat. From Lauren, my blood pressure has been going low enough to the point that I don't feel well for short bouts of time, like 15 minutes and occasionally. Any relation to this reset?
Yeah, so I want to know, are you on blood pressure lowering medications? Are you on blood pressure lowering supplements? Because that's what happens. I've seen that happen with people. They're on natto kinase or they're on some sort of blood pressure lowering. And this diet will lower your blood pressure for sure. It generally doesn't lower it. For people who have normal blood sugar, it doesn't usually lower it. It normally lowers it when it's elevated. So if you've had elevated blood pressure, I keep saying sugar. If you've had elevated blood pressure in the past, and I would check to see if you're on any supplements in your regime that you took on specifically to help you lower your blood pressure. But if you have had higher blood pressure but you're not on anything, then it could be that the body's going, whoa, this is a little too low. Now, I want to know what is too low. Like some people go down to 90 over 60 and they're perfectly fine. It's not necessarily ideal, but it can be quite fine and normal for folks. Now, if it's going down to 80 over 70, 80 over 50, that's probably too low. But this definitely does, because insulin resistance elevates blood pressure. It thickens the linings and the endothelial linings of the blood vessels. So as you're healing, it's a good sign that you are healing.
Yeah, and I can see that she's not on the call anymore, so we can't really ask her those questions. Did you want me to read another one from the chat?
Sure.
Okay, from Martha. Hi, diagnosed with diabetes 1.5 years ago with an A1C of 12. Started with an LCHF diet. Okay, low carbohydrate, high diet. Then transitioned into a keto diet after about 6 months, was doing really well until 4 months ago when I had a heart attack and had emergency stent put in. My A1C is now 6.4, so still diabetic.
Wow. What's the question?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay,
wait. Here we go. Low EF, 27%, so little out there for healthy eating and heart disease. My heart is damaged, so I tried some IF, but didn't feel right. Any ideas for someone who's had a heart attack?
Yeah, so here's the deal. I mean, I don't know what kind of keto. You can do a healthy keto diet, or you can do a high meat, high animal fat keto diet, which is what a lot of people do. Even if they're leaving out the meat, they're doing lard and what's that other stuff, tallow and a lot of oils. And that's contraindicated for someone with who has a tendency to have a heart attack. So that totally can be what happened there. I think that the diet we're using is a more balanced approach to low carbohydrate than any of them out there. Most of the low carbohydrate diets out there are very high meat. And especially, we don't know what your genetics are, but you may have an APOE4/4, which is a genetic tendency that interferes with your ability to handle saturated fat at all. So I'd love to know more about the keto diet that you did, but for now, I would say this diet, this diet without the fat, I would be careful of the saturated fat until we know whether you have that APOE. So I would stay off all oils. I would do high vegetable diet with, a little bit of fat, but not a lot of fat, but whole food plant-based fat is what I would recommend for you. Well, follow the program, but just be careful about the saturated fats until you know for sure.
I have a question.
In general, if you don't.
Sorry. How can I see who has their hand raised?
I'm looking at it right now. So if you just look at where the list is, their hand would be raised. So I'll raise my hand and you'll see.
Okay, got it.
See what it looks like?
Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we have no hands raised. Okay, I'm going to continue.
Yeah, we'll continue to do the written questions. But if you guys have questions or comments or just want to share a success, something that's happening for you on this reset, just go ahead and raise your hand. And before you read the next question, I just want to comment. The world is changing in terms of food. So I flew into an airport that's 2 hours from where I'm staying. I stopped halfway. I stopped at the Whole Foods to get some foods to bring back to my hotel. And I go to the salad bar at the Whole Foods. And I go to the salad bar, and right at the end is the cauliflower rice bar. Can you believe it? They have a cauliflower rice bar.
Oh, that's awesome.
Kinds of cauliflower rice dishes.
Oh.
Is that cool or what? I mean,
that's really cool.
Blew me away. It blew me away. Just had to say that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let's style food.
Best. Oh, Brenda's asking, what is the best enzyme to digest fat and fiber? And red chromium picolinate by Consumer Labs said it may worsen insulin sensitivity in thin individuals.
Chromium picolinate or chromium polynicotinate?
Polynicotinate.
And it was, where did you read it?
Consumer Labs.
Send me the reference. Yeah, I've never seen that. If it's new research, I'd like to see it. But I haven't seen it. I have not seen anything like that. I've not experienced it either with taking thousands of people through this process. So
okay.
That's certainly possible. New research.
Okay, and then something from Lauren. Actually, she posted at the beginning before the chat went wonky. My blood pressure has been going low enough to the point that I don't – oh, right. Okay, and we did that. Okay, but then she says,
yep.
Oh, no, not on any meds, usually normal blood pressure, no supplements. I'm on a compounded thyroid. Low for me is 102 over 60. I'm still here.
Okay, 102 over 60 is not an unsafe round, but are you saying you're getting dizzy at that point? I would be looking at adrenal dysfunction. Check your blood pressure, seated, and then go ahead and lie down and check it lying down. Write these numbers down, and then go ahead and stand up, and then within the first 10 seconds of standing up, take your blood pressure again and see what happens. Ideally, it should go up, and if it doesn't, there's probably you could either be too mellow and you're not getting any sympathetic response, or you've got some adrenal dysfunction going on.
Okay. Okay, Sandra, I'm dealing with histamine issues right now and following a low histamine and oxalate diet. I'd like to bulk up my smoothies with protein powder. What option would you suggest?
Oh, well, yeah, so you find one that works for you, right? So Satcha Inchi is usually a good bet for people because I don't know very many people who've grown up eating Satcha Inchi, so it's usually very hypoallergenic. Pumpkin seed protein powder is a possibility. I don't know about the histamine content of that, but when you pull the protein out, you don't have the rest of the constituents generally. Brown rice protein, it just depends on what you tolerate. And I would experiment. Just get the little sample pack. I mean, it's a smorgasbord when you go to Whole Foods and look at all the protein powders they have. It's like, this never used to happen. 10 years ago, this was not happening. There was one protein powder on the market. Now there's dozens of them. So you pick them up, you read the ingredients, and buy a sample set. That's what I did a few years ago. I just went and bought all the little individual packets to see what I liked. Because, I mean, the worst thing is you buy a $50 package of, you know, a big jar of protein powder, and then it doesn't work for you. Yeah, we try them out and see which ones work best for you. Hemp's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
You can use whole hemp seeds, or you could use the hemp protein powder. Yeah, I mean, those are all good. And variety. You know which one I really like is Annika Becker's Keto Alkaline. It's got a really smooth, you know, some of them are chalky. You just add water and it's really kind of chalky. Hers has a real nice smoothness to it.
I have to try that.
Yeah, it's really good.
There
and
we
she
go.
Designed it specifically. Yeah. See, what she does, she talks about very similar, what she and I do are very similar things, is that when people go on a keto diet and it doesn't work for a lot of folks is because it gets them very acidic.
right, with all that animal fat and animal protein. And so she works with getting you keto and alkaline. So she has this, she uses the urine strips, which aren't as accurate as the blood, but you can also use your Keto Mojo for those of you who have it and measure your ketones and get the little pH strips and measure that. The cool part is all of the stuff's available on Amazon. Shocking. You used to have to go to this drugstore and that drugstore and this specialty site. And now I went shopping for one of our events and just bought all kinds of testing equipment on Amazon. So if you get the pH strip, get the ones that go from 4.5 to 8-ish. If it's too wide a range, you can't really tell. And then measure your pH. She has strips that she sells on her site if you want to go to drannikabecka.com. And you can see that she has the ones that the strip itself will test both pH and ketones at the same time. And the goal is to get yourself in slight ketosis and alkaline. And that's why she designed that powder, so it doesn't have any carbohydrate in it.
Okay. I think that's about it for the chat at the moment. By the way, Lauren says that she's pretty mellow.
She's pretty mellow?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would like to know, to describe more what it means. Like, does she feel like she's going to faint when it goes low? Is she getting dizzy, woozy, affects her ability to drive, to operate machinery, or whatever?
Yeah, I suggested she raise her hand, but I don't see a raised hand, and I don't see her name on the list, but she says she's here, so.
She says she's there? Where do you live, Lauren? Who might you've called in under? There's a lot of pseudonyms on this. I've seen, so there's Marsha, there's Gloria, there's somebody as webcast. I don't know who, oh, that's the recorder, never mind. There's Wendy from Costa Rica, there's Lynn Rose from Texas, there's Marta from Everett, wherever that is, Diana from Chiales, Andrea from Maryland, Janine from Pomona, Chen, George, Irma, from Lodi, California, Lane from San Jose, Sandy from Ohio, Brenda doesn't say where, Gayreen from Idaho Falls, cell phone Ontario, is Lauren in Ontario? Lauren, are you in Ontario? If that's it, I can open that up. Ontario is oftentimes, I don't recognize it, it might be Mary, Rodriguez from New York.
San Diego.
San Diego? Okay, Tracy, yeah. Carney, no, from California, there's one from Oakland, Claudia from Los Angeles, Hewitt. There's an anonymous, we can see. And did she ask if she called in on the, oh, she can hear me. Did she call in on the web or did you dial in on your phone? Like, yeah, I have to talk to you. I don't have to talk to you. Oh, you ask her. She can hear me. Silly me. Washington, Vera, California. Is your roommate named Vera? Christy, Modesto, Shulak, Monterey, Green, Cartel. So the only ones that don't, you know, are not real identifiable are there's an anonymous on a web call, and then there's where's the other one? Somebody from California. But I don't see anybody from San Diego. So you might want to try again.
Star 2 to raise your hand. VM,
yeah, star 2 to raise
Vera. Your hand. Vera's written, VM stands for Vera, has similar questions to Lauren's about low BP.
Okay, so, yeah. You want me to go back to line here? I'll open your line and get to talk to you. Is that Vera? Go ahead and say hi, Vera. I opened your line, Vera. Oh, you might not have a mic on your phone, on your computer, because you're on the web call. Yeah, that won't help. So, yeah, tell us more. Like, tell me more, like, when you say it goes low, is it going low in between meals? Is it low when you first get up? Is it low when, yeah, you get up and you're dizzy and then you take it and it's low? And what are the symptoms? So that would be good to know. I want to look at the Q&A that's different from there, and there's a couple of questions in there. There's quite a number of questions in there. I think some of these Lynn already put into that document.
Yeah.
All the before ones she could put in the documents for sure. How about Margaret? Did we have?
I don't think we've got Margaret.
Marsha says, if I forget to take my supplements with meals, should I take them in between? For the most part. I mean, some people have super sensitive digestions and they have to take supplements with meals or they get nauseous, but I try it. For the chromium, usually magnesium, DHA, lipoic acid, B vitamins, zinc, any of that stuff, you usually can do it in between meals and not have a problem. But again, it depends on you. Okay, there's a couple of them that
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say there's a couple others that I don't remember hearing. So yeah, there's a number of them. Maybe mine just got up to a certain point and didn't get further. But we got Allison, bout of shingles. We have Allison had a bunch.
We didn't get Darlene. Darlene's just under Marsha about liver enzyme lab values.
Okay. Yeah, so let me go back up there. So there, it looks like we didn't get from Denise. It looks like Allison's the last one from the, oh no, the white kidney bean extract. And then there's a few, I don't need to look down. There's one from, right above Denise, Montserrat. I need help locating the SIBO and she's got a list of foods. And I believe that if you go to the resources and I'll look for it right now. Why don't you go to the one above that and read that and while I look for that and I'll tell them exactly where that is.
Okay, so from Darlene, my liver enzyme lab values are so abnormal, my doctor decided to forego treatment of digestive issues until I can improve liver health. Is it still okay to be doing Sweet Spot Solution program even though out of recommended order of always addressing GI first?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so here's the thing. The Sweet Spot will address your basic GI issues because you're, number one, you're low sugar, so you're not feeding yeast and funguses and all that, bacterial overgrowth. You're incorporating the de-stress before meals, so you're activating your digestive tract. So absolutely, absolutely no problem. It's not that there's a problem doing the Matabotor with gut and blood sugar. It's just that some cases you might not get. So, for example, let's just say you have a thyroid issue and your doctor addresses your thyroid issue by putting you on thyroid medication or putting you on thyroid supplements or bioidentical hormones. They're not addressing the underlying, which could be the blood sugar and the gut. Our programs, like if you were to take my thyroid program before taking my Sweet Spot or digestive, part of that is like you got to get your gut going. You're not going to get taken through like a full-blown 30-day candida cleanse or any of that, but talking about the only way you're going to get this to fix is to heal this, and we give you strategies. So Sweet Spot has lots of digestion-enhancing strategies, and supposedly I'll have to check with my team when, but this week they're supposed to be opening up access to the bonus, which was a set of digestive things like mild, the stuff that everybody can do, right? So there's the way that you approach healing, you know, the conscious eating, the breath, the approaching the meals with getting into parasympathetic, the chewing, enzymes, certainly, probiotics, all that stuff we cover. So I would say it's never bad to address blood sugar, right? It's never a problem because it's involved with everything. Does that make sense the way I put that? Do you have anything to add to that?
No, that makes total sense to me. I mean, it's a very clean diet. It's definitely going to help with GI issues. So I totally agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's see. Now I'm going to go to Lauren. Dr. Rita Marie suggests I take a liquid multi-mineral. Can you recommend a few brands that absorb well as I have SIBO? Is there a way for me to speak with Dr. Rita Marie, or when is the next call with her? I'm away next week, so I'm not sure I can make the next live call.
She wanted to... I'm here for you to talk to me now, and I'll be on the call next week, too.
Oh, and when will your bars be available?
They're out.
I thought we still had, though. I just talked to Scott today. He thought we still had at least 500 bars or 100 bars. I mean, there was supposedly still some there. So just go to the link. I don't know the link off the top of my head, but we can put it on the site. But I posted it in the Facebook group a while back, and they are available. They should still be available. As of today, he was checking with them to find out how much inventory we had and when we needed to order more, because we don't like to order too much new inventory until the old inventory is at least down to a level where there's a, you know, there's not going to be an overlap, because we want to get them as fresh as possible each time. So, yeah, they're available for sure.
Wow, something wrong with my computer. It's not even showing. Wow.
I'm seeing Lauren posting here along with Vera back on the chat.
So you're there. If you want to talk to me, here.
Danielle, I raised my hand. Did I get through? I'm listed under Brian.
Well, maybe look to yourself, because I think there's something wrong. I think there's like some sluggish internet, because as I go to our The Unstoppable, all the graphics.
Oh, I see. Okay, I see Brian's name. I see one hand raised, which is Brian, and I don't know what the deal is with Lauren and Vera not coming onto the call, but they're posting in the chat. So, you know, they're
there, and fine. Vera's line is open, but maybe she doesn't have a mic. But I don't see Lauren. Lauren is Brian. Brian. Okay, no, Brian's Brian. Should we open Brian's line?
Yeah, Brian is not Brian. There's someone under Brian's name. Where is that? Well, yes, let's open Brian.
Okay. Hi, Brian.
Hello. It's Danielle.
Oh, it's Danielle. Your Danielle is Brian. That's, you know, you never know with this. It's like.
I know. It's really confusing.
Hi, Danielle.
Hi. So I wanted to, I just want to do a little brief check in and share, because that seems to help me to do that and to be visible as opposed to being in hiding. And I've had some shifts lately. So, like when the reset started, it's all of a sudden, my cravings kind of went away. I don't know what happened. And I'm losing weight, but I'm still having trouble with like eating enough vegetables and getting, and planning in such a way that I get what I need. I mean, I'm doing the Rejuvelac in the morning, and then I'll have protein powder, but I don't get the green. I haven't made any green smoothies. I'm just eating vegetables and salads when I can, and avocado and things like that. So it's hard to get all the pieces together.
Right? It's not something you're going to do overnight. And that's what Susan and I were talking about earlier. We tend to, like, the people who come onto these programs tend to be super achievers, right? And you're hard on yourself and you're perfectionistic. Like, if you were learning to play the piano, would you expect to be playing Beethoven's Fifth within a month? Or would you expect that maybe you're playing Twinkle, little, you know, whatever, Mary Had a Little Lamb and Twinkle, Twinkle in a month, and you're still working on the other stuff. So it's skills that take time to develop, and be easy on yourself. Like, okay, I'm not used to eating vegetables in the morning. Okay, I'm not used to, you know, making things in this way. And you just practice, and you practice, and you practice, and eventually, I absolutely swear to you, taking this from an M&M's ice cream and Pringles addict, and that's all I ate when I was in my early 20s, that it becomes second nature. Like, you just start to reach for the food and you go, oh, wouldn't this be interesting with that? And it just happens, but it doesn't happen in the first month, right? It just takes practice. Unless you happen to be, like, you take a kid who has this born genius for piano, and you sit them at the piano, and suddenly within a month they are playing Beethoven's Fifth, and you're like, holy cow, just a rarity, right? And then there's some people who are, like, just born chefs, right? You just have this thing about it. I know people like that. Sharon Osbourne's like that. I taught her some basic stuff about food, and suddenly she was making this stuff and bringing it to me and going, holy cow, this is good. It's just, that's her art. That's her skill, her talent. But for most folks, it's just practice and exposure and trying things and,
yeah, it's 10 days into the reset. I think you're doing pretty darn good.
Yeah, and I guess, too, I mean, as you're saying that, I'm like, it's incorporating one piece at a time. You know, so I'm doing pretty good with the supplements, and, you know, so it's like, okay, what's the next piece, you know? I'm still not doing my blood sugar frequently enough, you know, so that I really have a, you know, a sense of the of when I peak, you know, so I don't feel like I have enough information for some of the decisions about the food. But, yeah, I guess just keep incorporating one new piece at a time.
Exactly, exactly. I think you're doing great. I think we're all doing great. And if there's stuff that you still need help with, then that's where, you know, that's why these calls are here and the Facebook group. And but don't be so hard on yourself. Some of the people you're reading on, you know, have been in for a while, right? And they're putting up these gorgeous pictures of food, and you're going, huh, how did they do that? I'm no good. I don't do that. Well, no, it's not a matter of that. It's just a matter of practice. And also, like I said, some of that inborn skill. I mean, there's certain friends of mine and people on my team have certain skills that I will never have. It's not that there's anything wrong with me. It's just I will never have that skill, right? And it's okay because I have my other skills. And the same thing with you. But this is an important piece, and you get used to it, and you practice, and you go, oh, wow, I could just do that in the morning. That would make it good. Or you stumble on things, right? You try this and you try that, and then suddenly you stumble on some amazing approach to putting food together or to exercising or whatever. It took me a long time to figure out what really worked for me. It really did. Mm. It wasn't like I suddenly woke up. It was like, oh, God, I'm trying to do all this. I was doing 100% wrong. God, how am I going to try to keep I'm feeling hungry all the time. How do I get around this? And so I just kept playing with it. I kept playing with it and figured it out. And when I did start to measure the blood glucose, that really helped me to go, oh, no wonder I have these cravings after I eat big bowls of pineapple and mango. I have a blood sugar problem, right? So we learned from meditation.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't realize how much taking my blood sugar is actually a strong motivator. It's been huge.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? For some people, this, yeah, go ahead.
Yep. Well, I was just going to say, like, if I want to reach for a snack or a handful of, you know, nuts or something, it's like, well, no, I'm in between. I don't, you know, it helps me to not eat in between meals. And to be mindful of that.
Yes. And be mindful of what you grab, right? Like if you're going to grab for something and you're going, well, what's that going to do to my blood sugar? Do I really want to do that? Do I want to, you know, spike my blood sugar? It's likely if I reach for that piece of almond quinoa bread or whatever, Mary's crackers, I think he raised my blood sugar, but maybe I won't do that because I'm trying to do this metabolic reset. And for me, it keeps me from trying things. If I'm out, like at a party, and I'll go, well, I wonder if I can eat some pineapple without a green smoothie. But if I don't have my blood sugar meter there to actually use it as a test, I won't do it. I won't do it because it's like, what a waste. I'll do it, and then I won't know what it did to me.
Right. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you.
Yeah, just keep on doing what you're doing, and little by little, be gentle with yourself. Just be gentle with yourself.
Yeah. Awesome. I'm so slow, and actually, I'm not one of the hard ones. I mean, I'm not one of that pushing, you know, a type A, all of that. I mean, I used to do that, but I'm too old for that.
Yeah.
but I'm moving really, really slow, and it's hard to accept my speed sometimes.
Okay, so you just said, I'm not a type A, and I'm not a push. I'm moving very slow, but it's hard to accept. So there's part of you that's still a type A that's driving the part that's mellowed out.
Okay.
Okay? So talk to that part and say, you know what? Mellow out with the rest of us, girl. You don't need to be pushing me here. So there is still that part because, you know, once a type A, always a type A because there is a genetic programming there, but you get to stop it and laugh at it.
Okay. Yeah.
From one type A to another, girl. You are, but you're, I've never.
five, right? I'm just like, oh, I just dropped a whole jar of whatever, nuts all over the floor, and it fell into the hood, and it's all a mess, and now I have to sleep. Okay. Whereas years ago, that wouldn't have been the case.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. You got it. All right. Thanks, Danielle. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, Dr. Rita Marie, there's still some more stuff here from Lauren, and I don't know what's going on with her being able to get on the call, but do you want me to read what she's written to you?
Yes.
Okay. So she's saying that she feels faint and just awful, and I don't know what she means, but when she gets up. She feels faint and awful. She's sleeping 9 to 10 hours and her resting blood sugar is 75 to 87 usually. She's also had a couple hours of depression, which she's never had in her life. And she said she tried raising her hand. I still don't see her name or San Diego in the list there. So that's about it from her.
Yeah, I don't see it. Tempted, I know it. Just going to open up any of the anonymouses because she maybe is anonymous. So I'm going to open up anonymous. Anonymous, say hi. Everybody say hi all at the same time. 1, 2, 3, hi. Oh, I don't hear anybody.
Hi.
Oh, hi. Hi, Jack. Hi, who is it?
This is Catherine. I was checked in late, so I just didn't bother putting my name in. I'm one of the anonymous.
Okay, so okay. I was looking for Lauren, so I figured I'd open up anybody that didn't have a real name.
Hi.
Lauren. Oh, hi. Hi. Nice to talk to you, Catherine. Well, while we have you here,
this is Catherine. I was checked in late, so I just didn't bother putting my name in. So I'm one of the anonymous.
Okay, I was looking for Lauren, so I figured I'd open up anybody that didn't have a real name. All right.
Hi.
Nice. You hear the echo? Oh, that's funny. I think it was Vera that was echoing. Had Vera open.
Okay.
If you have anything, go ahead and ask. If not, we'll move on.
Okay. Claudia posted the study about the chromium. The link is in the chat.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great.
But they can't see the chat, so we'll have to look at it after when I get on a reasonable internet. I can't even see anything on the chat.
Lynn Rose is reporting that you are out of bars.
Really? Okay. We are out of bars. If you come to my house, you can buy some because I have about 5 boxes there. And I will tell Scott that, because he's been trying to get an answer from these guys, and they're like, we don't know how much inventory, how much inventory do we have? So you already got an email from people from them saying we're out? Is that what happened when you tried to order more?
I'm trying to find what she wrote here. Yeah. Where is she? Website says bars are sold out, 3? And then she includes the link.
The website says it? Okay.
We'll
look at that. It may be that he has the inventory number wrong in the computer. I'll pass that on to Scott and we'll get him fixing it and order it. Because he was asking me today, when should we order more? I'm like, well, how many more do we have? If we have, not enough boxes to make it through. So we'll go ahead and order more. So it'll probably be a few weeks before they get them in stock.
Christy, I just wanted to say something about Maria because, she's been offering up her program to everybody. And Christy posted that she just finished a session with Maria. But she got lightheaded afterwards and almost passed out, had to lie down and recover. It recovered in 1 hour. She felt nauseous too. But someone else posted something about Maria having a YouTube channel so you can see some of the exercises that she taught. Where is that? Oh, getting long here in the chat.
Yeah,
Here we go.
If you look up on Facebook, she actually has a Facebook group, a membership group. It's free. It's called BFABBU, BFABBU, BFABBU. And she posts exercises there as well. And she's very, very active in that group and her YouTube channel as well. So I would go sign up for that. And if, you know, generally if that happens where you get lightheaded after an exercise session like that, it was just too much for you. Oftentimes that happens if somebody is in a state of adrenal fatigue where you overexercise and you don't notice it while you're doing it, you notice it afterwards. So you would want to be not doing with the same intensity. Some of the exercises she did were probably fine for you, but it was too much to do for a full 45 minutes to an hour. And you might be a type A who didn't slow down during too. So sometimes that happens too, because you're just like, I push myself really hard. And then sometimes it's like, oh, I push myself a little too hard.
Yeah, we tend to do that. You know, we want to, we want to perform.
Yes.
Now, Lisa's Lisa's posted that she's pretty much only eating twice a day. It takes her almost 2 hours to finish her chia porridge and drink her 32-ounce green drink in the morning. She waits 4 to 6 hours, then eats lunch, dinner, or linner, as she might call it, and that takes another hour plus to eat. For some reason, it feels like she's grazing. She's feeling good and down about 10 pounds. Yay.
Sounds like you're on the right track, and if two meals works for you like that, great. A lot of folks find that it just really works well to do just the two meals. And as long as you're feeling good with it, you're not grazing because you're eating one meal and you're waiting 4 to 6 hours and then you're having another one. So it may feel like it because you're eating a lot, like long periods, but slow is way better than fast on your digestive tract. So keep it up. Sounds like you're doing the right thing. You know, here's the thing, and Susan, you can comment on this too, please. There's no right way. You go to a lot of websites, read a lot of books. This is the perfect diet that everybody should follow. And that's a bunch of BS, as far as I'm concerned. You know, because we're finding that everybody's a little different, and we're trying to teach you how to take the basic guidelines and tailor it. I told somebody who's way underweight, eat every 3 hours. Eat every 3 hours. That's a difference. But eat the low glycemic foods every 3 hours so you don't spike your blood sugar. So it's very different from person to person. And if you want to eat one meal or two meals a day, we have one guy in the program, he's doing the every other day eating process. He eats a day, he fasts a day. Sometimes he'll eat a day, fast a day, eat it 2 days, fast 2 days, eat 3 days. He's found a rhythm that works for him. It keeps him from overeating, and it keeps him from going off track. And he's lost, you know, tons of weight and got off all his medication. So you just have to find your groove and use the guidelines. Now, if somebody writes the new diet book, that's the M&M's and Pringles diet, run away from it because there's no basis for it. It's just total garbage food. But when you're taking the realm of whole fresh foods and you're figuring out what the right combination is for you, there's no right or wrong. It's just what's right or wrong for you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody's different. Everybody has different things going on in their lives, different stress levels, different routines, different responses to food. What I love about this program is that it is so specific to the individual.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not going to be perfect, right? Nobody's perfect. We're going to have challenges with our type A tendencies. You know, a lot of people are talking about the need to sleep a lot. Well, guess what? That's your body telling you it needs a rest, and it's okay to rest.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the thing, like what some people find, that if you are going on the 4 to 6 hour or 7 hour or whatever, irregular sleep pattern, and suddenly you sleep 7 to 9 hours, and you wake up the next day, and you don't feel any better. That was me. I felt worse. I was like, I feel more tired. Why? Because my body shut down the adrenaline production, and the cortisol production, and just went into me mode, and it said, that wasn't enough. You've been sleep deprived for years.
that one night of 7 to 8, 9 hours was not enough. Get some more rest. So when we slow down and when we start to really take care of ourselves, our bodies give us a signal of what they really need. I want to go back to Lauren, feeling lightheaded and all with the blood pressure.
Dr. Rita Marie, she did say something here that she's on her computer on the broadcast option. Does that have something to do with her not being able?
Oh, broadcast. Yeah, that's why we can't. Yeah, broadcast is just listen only. You have to be on web call.
Okay. So, Lauren, you might need to call back in on the web call to raise your hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, while we
wait
for her to do that, do you want to answer Mrs. Ms. that she posted this before? We must have missed it. She says on Facebook, a few of us have asked for a list of convenience or grab-and-go already prepared items that can be bought and ready-made at the store. Can we suggest brands of vegan veggie patties to try, snack food items with brands included, frozen food meals, et cetera? This is for those that lack energy and time to cook from scratch. I asked this earlier, but it was missed. Thanks.
Okay, so here's the thing with that. We do have a lot of stuff listed in our Creating Healing Kitchen guide. I don't eat frozen food, so I haven't tested any frozen food meals. So there's no way for me to do that, and I'm not willing to go buy them and do it. So I would say look for good ingredients. Like if it's organic and it's just food, real food without a lot of process, look at the, read the label, look at the, not just the sugar content, but the net carb content. And if it doesn't say net carbs, you take the total carbs minus the fiber, and you're looking for those lower carb foods. There are some that I've mentioned over and over again, like Chocola Tree, C-H-O-C-O-L-A Tree. They have some really good nori crackers, and they have some chia crackers. They have some tortilla-type things, so they have tomato and veggie tortilla wraps that you can get from them. There's the Nuco has the really great coconut wraps that you can get. When I'm traveling, I'm looking to see what I got. I don't buy prepared meals necessarily, but I buy, I got guacamole. So I got guacamole at the Whole Foods, and there's two different kinds of guacamole I got. One is a ginger guacamole, which I've never had before, and the other one is a calamole, which has chopped up kale in it, and that was just in the prepared fresh section at Whole Foods. I'll buy like pico de gallo and things like that there. I'll get baba ganoush, but I'll read the labels because a lot of the baba ganoushes these days have the chickpeas in it instead of just the eggplant. Traditional baba ganoush is just eggplant with tahini, and that's an easy thing to make, but you can also usually buy it. I buy guacamole and get like the romaine lettuce hearts or the red bell pepper, and that will be a meal for me on the run, or jicama sticks. I'm trying to think of some other brands that I like. Chocola Tree, what about it?
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. C-H-O-C-O-L-A Tree.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, look it on Google. Yeah. And, they have great stuff. Awesome stuff. I love their stuff. If you go to the Raw Food World, they often have some of that, but you got to be careful because some of their snacks have like coconut sugar and things like that in it. There's a chocolate bar if you're into chocolate bars. There's one called, Sinless Raw. Let me look it up. But they have these really nice chocolate bars that are just raw cacao with either stevia or Lohan sweetener in them. Some of my other go-tos. Like I said, I don't do frozen. My kids like frozen stuff, but they usually do carby kind of frozen stuff. Like they'll do like 80s, Amy's, whatever. As far as the burger, most of the burgers have grains in them. I don't know of anybody that sells the veggie type burgers, you know, the vegetable nut seed type burgers. I've not seen any of those in it. Well, if you live in San Diego, go to
what's it called? Plant-powered fast food or something like that. It's on the corner of Sunset Cliff and that store where that Real People's Co-op, if you're in San Diego, they have amazing veggie burgers. Oh, my God. Every time I go to San Diego, that's the first trip I go is I get one of those, and it's got this, like, chipotle cashew mayonnaise on it. And, oh, they're amazing. They're totally amazing. Yeah. So, and you can always get cauliflower, frozen cauliflower rice. Somebody posted the other day that they have organic cauliflower rice at Trader Joe's and Costco, and it comes in a bag, and you just throw it in the pan, and you throw a little bit of seasonings on it, and you can make some rice, or you can make some rice pudding with it. But here's the other quick thing. Take a whole head of cauliflower and stick it in the steamer and steam it. There's so many things you can do when it's done. One, you blend it up and you make mashed potatoes out of it. I posted this on the Facebook group. The other thing is you can then finely chop it, and make it into a rice consistency and then do whatever you would normally do with rice. My latest favorite is to steam the whole head of cauliflower, pull it out, put it in a bowl, and just like with the fork, chop it up into small pieces and then make a tahini chipotle sauce, but it doesn't have to be chipotle, it can be any flavorings you want. Posted that on the Facebook group the other day. I mean, there's so many quick and easy things you can do that are faster than going to the store and shopping for frozen food. Pizza crust, which I showed on my show the other day, there's a cauliflower pizza crust. You can get them on Amazon. I get the one that says the plant-based ones because the other ones have dairy in them and cheese in them. But those are amazing. I made a quick pizza the other day. Oh, my God, it was so good. And then, you know, if you don't want to make your own cheese, which is the recipes we have, Kite Hill. I have some in my bag here because I bought some down with me the next few days. Kite Hill has a really good couple of different kinds of cheese. They have it's like a cream cheese type of thing that has chipotle, and then they have another one that's like herbs and dill, and so those sorts of things are real easy to do. So yeah, I'm not going to promise to get you a list of frozen and convenience foods because that would take me like 6 months to go research, and I'm not going to eat that stuff. So I mean, because I don't feel the need to, right? So it just isn't something I'll do. But I've already done most of it, like any of the really good packaged stuff like that, like the tortillas and stuff that are great. So, yeah, and that's all in the Vital Healing Kitchen booklet, Craving Healing Kitchen booklet, which is on Cinema Module 2 with the nutrition.
Okay. There are a few more.
What's that?
Vera has her hand up, so maybe she got her microphone sorted.
Maybe she got it sorted. Yay. Hi, Vera.
Perhaps not.
Perhaps not.
And we still don't see Lauren.
Love it. Oh, yeah, you got to love it. You got to love it.
Yeah. There were a couple
from Carol. From Carol, okay.
Has the same question as everyone else. What happens if you spike above 110 during the reset? Will this not work? Do we just continue?
Just continue, right? If you continue to spike, then you need to, like, look at what is it that's causing it. Is it a stress response? Is it actually one of the foods that you're eating? Pull it out and then just continue. And if at 30 days, you've really only had 15 days straight, then continue to go another 15 days and then start to test things back. What's really going to happen at the end of the reset, it's not like celebration day, go eat what you want to eat. No, that's not how it works. It's transition. It's like, okay, I've been missing blueberries and they spiked me at the beginning and I'm going to try them again. And you're going to try them and maybe they shoot you up again. And then you go, okay, the next time I have it, I'm having it with a head of lettuce. Or the next time I have it, I'm going to drink a green smoothie while I eat it. You're going to figure out how you can introduce these foods. And if some of them you can't without it spiking, no matter how much green you have with it, then you just put it on your hold-off list for a while,
right? And you just retested in months. There are some foods I've never gone back and retested just because I just never gotten around to it, and I'm really happy with what I eat right now. And I have to laugh when people say, but I'm only eating vegetables and nuts. So I'm like, your point? That's all I've been eating for the last 6 years. And there's so many varieties that you can make with it that you never get tired of it. And guess what? Everybody like who says, I don't have time to experiment with the recipes. Most of the recipes, just grab some dips. Or go to the grab-and-go section of the 30-day menu planner. There's a grab-and-go section. And if you just make a couple of the things that's recommended there, you have just quick and easy meals you can do throughout the week. It literally takes 5 minutes, including blender cleanup sometimes, to make any of those creamy nut cheeses, literally. And if you have a couple of them in your refrigerator and you have some veggies and you can buy them cut up at the grocery store if you want, then you can just go ahead and do it that way, right? Or stir fries are so easy and quick to make. So don't feel like you have to make gourmet stuff. Yeah, there's a lot of good gourmet stuff in the book, but there's a lot of really simple stuff. And as far as following the menu plan, I'd say don't if you don't like to follow menu plans. We just made it for the people who like to follow menu plans. But I've never followed the menu plan. I just eat along those lines of the menu plan. Like I eat that type of a meal in the morning, that type of meal. But I'm a rebel, and I can't eat the way somebody tells me to eat. I eat the way I want to eat, right? The way I know is going to work for me. So I'm not a menu plan person. But, of course, I made the menu plan to satisfy the needs of everybody, because some people need them and some people like them and some people don't. But it's more like a guideline. I would call it a menu guideline. Somebody said to me when the program started, I can't eat all. Do I have to eat all that food on the days of the menu plan? I'm like, no! I can't fit all that food in me. Like, no, you eat what you need. You eat the serving size. And then other people say, well, what's a serving size? Like, your recipes don't say serving size. Well, it depends, right? It depends on, are you eating just that for your meal? Are you eating that as a side dish to your meal? How big is your appetite? How big are you? Are you trying to lose weight or gain weight? So I have a hard time saying this is 3 serving size, because realistically, right, just go look at some of this package too. You pick up the package, and you'll pick up 2 products of the same size package, and one says it's 16 servings, and one says it's 2. It's a farce, right? They do those serving sizes, and they'll say it's 16 servings, so it looks like there's hardly any sugar in it. Or it looks like it's a low-fat product, because each serving, but who's going to eat 1 teaspoon of guacamole? Seriously. Come on. So it's just not going to happen. And I think it was Marcia had said when I posted my cauliflower dish, and it was this cauliflower mashed potatoes, and I put it over a bed of arugula. It took me all of 3 minutes to make. I don't have time to make meals, except on my shows. And then I ate, and I put it out there. I said, look what I did, and I just sprinkled some black cumin seed on it. And she goes, was that your whole meal? I'm like, yeah, it was my whole meal, and I was stuffed afterwards, right? So for her, maybe that wasn't a whole meal. Maybe she needed to have something with it. Maybe she wanted half of the cauliflower mashed potatoes and wanted broccoli with it, or a salad with it, or something else, piece of salmon with it. But it's everybody's. Like for me, I can eat a mono meal. It's just like I love cauliflower, so give me cauliflower mashed potatoes, and I'll eat that for a meal. Somebody else may want a little bit of cauliflower mashed potatoes, and like the typical meals we had when we were kids, like a little of this, a little of that, a little of that. And it's all up to you, so that's why I have a hard time giving you serving sizes. So your serving size is what it takes to get you to the point where you go, okay, I'm done, it's full. And we're going to tune in with that. I know this is it's a different approach to eating, right? It's not you have this much this and this much that and you measure it out. And that works for some people. And if that works for you, great. If you've come from like bright line eating and you're measuring out your food and that keeps you in a discipline, you know, of not overeating, great. The only problem I have with that is like, don't tell me I can only eat 2 cups of broccoli. What's wrong if I eat 4 cups of broccoli? Is that going to screw my diet up? Am I going to gain weight because I ate 4 cups of broccoli? I doubt it, right? So it's just being a little bit flexible
but enough structure to keep you and how you know you are psychologically. Is that making sense?
Yeah, that makes total sense. I mean, you know, a lot of it is common sense. And, you know, and to be flexible, but to, you know, have some parameters for yourself. You know, it's a fluid thing that we're trying to do. I wanted to tell you that Lauren posted that she's going to the fast food joint in San Diego for a veggie burger.
Go for it. Enjoy it. They also have a taco, too. They're the two raw dishes that they have on there. And every time I go there, I buy one of each and I have my 2 days of food. But it's amazing. Amazing. The taco and the burger. It's amazing. And across Caddy there is the co-op, the People's Co-op, and they usually have some good packaged food, and they have like one of the best places. They're second only to one other place I'll tell you about. Those of you who are in LA can go there. And if you go in there, they have all kinds of packaged nuts, crackers and seed crackers and veggie crackers and all that. They have all the Chipotle tree there, and that's right at Kitty Corner away. So if you're in San Diego, go there. And then up the street from there, there's a place called Peace Pie. And I actually went there. I was at a conference that was in a hotel nearby, and one person who's vegetarian, and most of them aren't, and he said, well, I heard there's a good, you know, restaurant called Peace Pies. You know, let's go there. And he took a whole bunch of people who were not, you know, they're typically eating lots of meat, and they adored this place. So Peace Pies is another one to try. Don't do their desserts while you're on the reset, though, because they do coconut sugar in their desserts. And then the other place, the one store in the whole world that is my absolute favorite health food store is in L.A., and it's called Aromont. And if you want to find lots and lots of prepackaged meals, you'll get all sorts of amazing sweet spot certified meals. I mean, I could have put my band of approval on them because they look like my recipes. In terms of dry stuff that's in packages, but also in their deli department and in their fresh food section. One time I went in there and I only found it once. They had this amazing little chocolate bar and I only bought one and I ate the whole thing and I wanted more. And it was sweetened with stevia and it had like ashwagandha in it. It was just like this amazing elixir type chocolate bar and they didn't have it when I went back, but Erewhon. So if you're looking for that, you know, that, convenience factor. Those are two stores I know of. I mean, I'm sure there's others in other towns, but those are the two that I know of that are totally phenomenal. We don't have them like that. We have 14 health food store supermarkets in Austin. Given the size of Austin, that's a lot, but none of them have that kind of fresh food. Yeah, kind of sad.
Yeah, I wish we had that in Boston. I'm so jealous, you guys.
You used to have a market in, I don't know if it's still there, but I forget what it was called, but it was a really good one. I mean, years ago. I don't know if it's still there.
Oh.
And there used to be a couple of really good restaurants in Boston like that too. Alyssa Cohen had a restaurant in Boston that was amazing. My son and I went there and we just like overate. It's all so good.
Well, I have to do more investigating.
Yeah. Yeah, Boston's pretty, it's pretty up there as far as good places. And the other place that there's a really good one that has good, like, prepared stuff that you can buy, is in Hawaii on Maui in Paia. I think it's called Maka. It's actually called M-A-K-A, Maka. Oh, and we didn't answer the mineral question. Somebody asked it, Laura asked it, and I forgot to finish answering that. Do you have any favorites? I have, like, there's two that I use. One is Liquid Light from Sun Warrior, and the other one is from Ultimate Superfoods, has a fulvic acid mix that I like. And also Good State. I think Good State has more of the individuals, but they're liquid. And if you take them on an empty stomach, especially if you put a little vitamin C with it or lemon juice, something more acidic, it helps it absorb, and they will absorb really quickly without having trying to have really good intact enzymes. And that's a good way to jumpstart the system.
Darlene has a question, whether it's okay to eat twice, once or twice a day. She read that she should eat within 1 hour of waking. She doesn't eat until 1 to 2 and some days only eat supper.
Okay. I love that question. Here's the thing. To toe the party line, I put in you eat within the hour of eating, of waking up, mainly because most people with blood sugar dysregulation also have adrenal dysfunction. And for people with adrenal dysfunction, sometimes really hard to go long hours without eating. All that said, in researching intermittent fasting, and when I first did this program back in 2011, and I wrote a 19-page paper on intermittent fasting, it's in the timing module, I would go ahead and see what I have to say there. So you find what works for you. So if the eating first thing in the morning doesn't work for me, it didn't work for me. The eating first thing in the morning made me want to eat all day long. And so I'm like you. I wait till usually 1 or 2 before I have my first meal. And then I have one other meal later. Sometimes I only have the one meal. I'll wait until 4 or 5 and then have a meal and then don't eat after that. Now, if I'm not sleeping, then once I have that meal, I want my dessert, and I feel it throws me off. The lack of sleep throws my timing off because I want to eat. So if you're finding that, like, I just want that, still want that something sweet after a meal, check your sleep because the sleep throws off your leptin. The lack of sleep, your leptin and your ghrelin and your insulin and your cortisol, and they're all out of whack, and you just start craving food even though you're not hungry. So that's what I do, and I'm fine with it, and a lot of people are fine with it. So, yeah, find what works for you. I'm going to give you guidelines, and I always start with the easier guideline. It's easier for me to tell someone to eat first thing in the morning than it is to skip and don't eat until noon. Like, a lot of people freak out if I tell them that, and it's that then it's not for them. Here's the thing I found with intermittent fasting is that people who were plateaued and couldn't get their weight to budge, I started them on the process of 1 or 2 a week, 24-hour fast. And what that means is not that you go a whole day without eating. You basically either eat breakfast in the morning if that's a good meal for you to eat, or you eat lunch, or you eat dinner, and then you don't eat again until that same meal the next day. So if you do best with not eating until 2 in the afternoon, having a good-sized meal, and then not eating again, you do it that way, but then you don't eat again until the lunch the next day. And it just accelerates the weight loss when you do that, like 1 or 2 days a week. Not 2 days consecutively. If you start to do it too many days consecutively, your body starts to go, I must be in starvation mode. Maybe we're out in the desert on the savanna and there's no food to be found. Let me slow down the metabolism. So if you, variety is what keeps your body, your metabolic pathways like ripe and working properly. So you do that and then 2 days later you do it again. Or you do it 1 day a week, depending on how much weight you have to let go of. But that's helped a lot of folks to release that extra weight and also to stop the craving. And some people, like one person, I said, I do it, my meal would be the dinner meal. And she tried that. She goes, oh, it was awful. I have to have breakfast. And then she would do breakfast and then not eat again until breakfast the next day, and that worked for her. And some people, it's just the middle of the day. And from an Ayurvedic perspective and even a Chinese medicine perspective, that's when the digestive fire is the hottest, is at like 2 o'clock, 10, 12 to 2 in the afternoon. And so if you have your big meal then, maybe at dinner, all you have is a little salad or a little bit of vegetables, and you keep it light, or you don't eat it all until the next day, and it can really, really get you through a hump.
You can't believe it, but Lauren is with us now.
She is, yay!
And her hand is raised.
Let's open her up. Hi, oh, there she is. I see her now. Hi, Lauren.
Lauren,
check your mic. If you have a headset, then just check. Sometimes there's a little mute button. Maybe you're muted. I hear something. Are you speaking, Lauren? Oh, bummer.
Hello. Hi, can you hear me?
Yay!
Hello.
Hi, Lauren.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? I hear you now, Lauren. And then after
can
that,
you hear
we'll,
me?
Yeah, we can hear
Jessica,
you. Can you hear us?
Now she can't hear us. So you have to put something in your ear. Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. We hear you.
Hello? Yeah.
Oh.
It's delayed.
It's delayed. Oh,
can you
yeah.
hear me?
Yes. You know what? Are you just on the web phone?
Okay.
You might be listening on the broadcast and talking on the web call, which would be a delay.
I think I hear you now, Lauren. You were just there.
Yes. Yep. I think she's saying there's a delay. And I think what's happening, I'll say this and you'll hear it 15 seconds later, but Lauren, I think what's happening is if you're on the web call and the broadcast and you're listening, you're going to hear it differently. You have to turn one of them off.
I can't hear you guys anymore.
Okay.
I can hear you.
Off broadcast.
Yeah, and you may have to just call in. You're in San Diego. You should be able to call in. There's a San Diego number. Let's see. Where is it? Call in. Here we go. There should be a San Diego number. Child Talk, you type this into the thing. There's a local thing. There should be a San Diego number. Here it is, local. Let's see. I'm sure there's a San Diego because it's a popular city. And I'll put this, you can put this in the chat and get her to call in on the phone. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah, and any, we usually put it in the emails for this. It says, into teleseminar, whatever, /local. But my computer, my web internet is really bad right now. So it's going to take forever for it to open. Yeah, I'm going to get them to upgrade me to the high speed internet for free for giving me a moldy room. Okay, so Florida, California. California, San Diego. Here we go.
Okay.
I'm going to put this. Yeah, it's here, right? Let's see if I can. Here I go. 619. 619. 471.
1669.
1669. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, if you put that in the chat, Lauren, if you see that, just call in on that number. That'll make life easier. Because we were hearing you, but I think there was some problem with you hearing us. You're still open. I'm not hearing it at all anymore. Yeah, call in on the phone number.
In the meantime, Judith Green has her hand raised.
Yeah, let's talk to Judith.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Judith. Can you hear us?
Awesome. I can hear you. This is wonderful.
Yay.
Yes.
Yay.
I feel for Lauren. I really feel for her. Okay. So I just have a question and I want to keep this really simple. First of all, I appreciate both of you. You're on a trip. You're in a hotel room. There was all kinds of mold and you're still talking to us. I mean, that is so, thank you so much for that amount of generosity. I really thank you.
You're
okay.
Welcome.
Really thank you. I think it was 2 weeks ago because last week I was in classes, but I'm the one that was bulimic for more than 40 years and I'm in a really rigorous, okay, and I'm doing everything that I can grab here, okay, a little slow, but doing it, but in years and years of bulimia, I couldn't stop binging and I would be up all night, years and years, and then go to work and go to school without very much sleep. And I can't. I mean, I want to so much give the night to sleep. And it's every night. It's 1:32. I'm up working. I'm up studying. Yes. And I want to change. And I mean, so much in my 12-step program and with God is different. But this thing ain't moving. Okay, and I just wondered if either of you, there's always it's something that seems so important, and I'm lying to, I don't know. If anybody has any wisdom on this one, you know, when you just can't get to bed, I don't know. And I just thank you for listening.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. I can relate to that. And Susan, if you want to tackle that first, you can do that, and then I have a couple of ideas, but I'm in your boat, so I'm going to share from my own personal experience of being addicted to being awake like you are.
I'm working. I just want to work. My body is not, is a slow body. It's hard to handle my body. Okay. Coming around. It's going to come around, but it's almost like an entity in itself because it's so worn out. Okay. And I'm behind, you know? Okay. So there we is.
Okay. So here's what I'm going to interrupt you there. I'm going to interrupt you there because the first thing I want you to do right this moment is breathe.
Yeah.
I want you to feel it. I want you to put your hand over your belly, and I want you to take a deep breath and feel your belly coming out. Just feel it coming out. And it comes out as far as it can. I want you to just let it go. Let the breath go. And I want you to feel your shoulders just drop. And just feel how good that can feel, like that letting go can feel.
You make me cry. I'm going to be crying in a minute here. Okay.
That's okay. Right? You're touching an emotion. This is an emotional piece. You have spent the last 40 years using food and to basically this control thing, right?
To control pain. And I did it. I did everything to stop. Okay.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes. Yes. But so you can do this. It's just, you've got to start with breathing. You've got to really get in touch. There's a you that you're not allowing yourself to really know.
Okay.
And it's a beautiful person in there. But for some reason, there's some fear about letting her out. So you keep stuffing her down with food or with work. One or the other. It's just still an addiction, right? It's a distraction from fear. Both of them are just
interesting. You could be right. I did not see it that way. Yeah, just to stop and sleep.
It's a distraction. It's a distraction because then you feel, right? Then you have to feel whatever the pain is you've been stuffing for 40 years with food.
I've done a lot of feeling, too. I mean, a lot of feeling, a lot of writing. Couple years in a Buddhist meditation center, I've done a lot of feeling too, but you're right.
There's still some more, and maybe you haven't gotten to that root, and that's what I'm thinking. Maybe there's just something that you're trying to hide from that once you're allowed to get in touch with, you go, oh, okay, good. Because sleep is one of the, like, when you quiet your mind, what the heck happens? You feel. When you get the food out of the way and you get the TV out of the way and you get the computer out of the way and all the distractions, you have to feel. And a lot of us have had some really crappy stuff happen that we don't want to feel. So breathe it. And I'm going to just look, see if Susan has anything from her, you know, bountiful meditation and yoga practice.
Going to suggest is, you know, taking an Epsom salt bath, like wind yourself down in the evening, take an Epsom salt bath, and after you take that bath, if you can lie down on your back, put your hand on your belly, put your hand on your heart, and do some deep diaphragmatic breathing through the nose, just, you know, come home to your breath. Let your mind sink towards the earth, right? Just let your mind take a back seat. Really, your body is trying to tell you something. And if you can create some internal space in your body, but also in your mind, it's going to come up. There's going to be something there that Rita Marie is referring to. It's going to come up. Something wants to come out and be with you.
You guys are so good.
And you're gonna, you know, my God, when you actually get some sleep, I think you're really going to come home to yourself.
Thank you. Thank you both of you so much. This is like poetry. I mean, I thank you very, very much, okay? It's, I'm thirsty.
You're very
sweet. So thirsty. Thank you for your time. I mean, that. Thank you so much, okay?
You're so welcome, Judith. Keep us posted on what goes, okay?
I'm sorry. What did you say?
Keep us informed. Keep us in the loop and posted as how this goes for you. And if something, you know, comes up that you need some support on, you know, just come on another call and we'll share it. We'll talk about it.
Thank you. It's very, very valuable what you've just both said. Thank you so much for
You're
listening.
So welcome.
You have wonderful ears. Thank you a lot. Good night.
Thank you for sharing.
Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you. We all have our ways of distracting ourselves. Sometimes it's distracting ourselves from our brilliance because we've been told as kids that we shouldn't brag and we just need to be modest and children should be seen and not heard. And you know you have a voice and you know you have a message and it's scary. That was for me for a while. My voice, I couldn't find my voice because I kept feeling like, well, if I show that I am good at something or that I have a talent or a skill, someone else who doesn't have that skill may feel bad, and I don't want them to feel bad, so I kept it in. And I started to get congestion in my throat, like a consistent congestion in my throat. And a friend of mine who did iridology looked at my eyes, and she said, there's something going on in your throat. There's something stuck there. What's going on? What are you not saying? And I just started blabbing, and I started saying, I'm afraid to say this, and I'm afraid to really be who I am because, you know, back 10 years ago was a lot different than it is now in terms of these beliefs about, you know, Western medicine and functional medicine and, you know, this, and I'd be in circles where there'd be, you know, family, friends, and medical doctors and people who were very thinking I was a whack case. So I was quiet, and I would be careful with people, even my clients, my patients, and I'd be, well, it could help if you did this, instead of, damn it, you got to do this, you know, like, let's just do this, and being really firm with it. I was afraid. And once she walked me through that process of just opening up my voice, my throat chakra, you can tell I don't hold back. I'm delicate. I'm not mean or anything. I'm going to get in touch with what's going on and actually say it to try to help people because it's part of helping. It's what is it that you're not saying, right? What is it that you try to stuff with your carbohydrates or your sugar or your overwork? What is it that you're holding back on? And not everybody has that they're holding back on, but for a lot of us, a lot of us overachievers, there's something that you're getting, and it may be an insecurity that you just pushed your way through. Like, if I just prove myself, I'll just keep working harder and harder. I'll prove myself that I'm not worthless. Right? Because there's an old tape playing that you're worthless. And a lot of kids did not have the upbringing that I know I worked at giving my kids, right? That constant encouragement and that constant, you're good enough. A lot of kids didn't get that. Someone posted a really beautiful thing. I don't know if I posted it on public. I posted it into one of our practitioner groups. But it was a very beautiful thing that was written by the Singapore government about the test coming up and how the parents are pushing their kids and studying. You got to prove yourself. And it was a beautiful thing about, you know what? Some of your kids are not going to be astronauts. They're going to be they're musicians. They're artists. They don't have these skills. And so it was just a beautiful thing that talked about, right? It's not important that you can't do math. What's important is that you show who you are and what your skill is. And I remember taking that the other day, I took that quote and I sent it to my 19-year-old and I said, this is what I always told you, because he's an artist. He's a not artist, physical artist, but a musician artist, very creative. And I would say, you know what, it really doesn't matter in the scope of your life if you don't know how to multiply imaginary numbers, quite frankly, they're imaginary and you're never going to use them in real life. So, you know, so let's just get you through the hoop. It doesn't reflect on who you are or your value as a person that you didn't get a great grade on this test. What matters is you are an amazing person. You have your own skills and talents. And I sent him this, and I said, this is what I always used to tell you. And he says, yeah, Mom, you did, and I really liked that. And the other thing I really liked is when I'd go to you for help with my homework, and you'd get really mad at the teacher and tell me that this was BS. So, like, I did. Whoops. But the point was, like, who cares if he knows how to multiply imaginary numbers or can find the square root of pi? If he's got this other skill where he could just pick up any instrument and play it, that's genius. So what's your genius, right? And you are good enough. You are enough. Whoever you are is enough. And whatever those voices were that told you that it wasn't enough, and maybe you gained weight to cover it up, to hide it, to hide the feelings. You know, maybe you used food as that. Maybe you used other addictions. Let's just, like, just sit with right now, take a deep breath, and just say to yourself, I am enough. I am more than enough. And just use that as you start to maybe try to reach for the food as things get uncomfortable, because that happens sometimes. It's not a physical thing. It's an emotional reaching and a need for comfort. So I just thought I'd throw that in because Judith's sharing really touched me deeply. And yeah. I think a lot of you might have something like that going on.
Yeah. Okay, I saw Lauren on twice and now she's on once. Shall we try one last time?
Let's try. Yeah, open her up. I don't see her, so you can do it.
Lauren?
I see her now. Yeah, she's open now.
Yeah.
But she's on web call still. She's still on web call. I don't see her. You don't hear her phone number, Jane?
No.
No. Try calling, Lauren, hang up, and then try just calling in on the number that Susan just put in the chat, the 619 number. It's a local San Diego number. You shouldn't have toll charges. And even if you do, it's like, you know, it's going to cost you a couple of dollars to call in. And it'll be worth it. I'd love to hear your voice. You've posted so much, and I really would love to connect with you that way. And while you're doing that, just speak out as soon as you do. Just keep trying to talk, and we'll hear you when you do. There was a couple of other questions, I think. It's so hard because there's so many questions and it's easy to skip them. I want to make sure I didn't skip anybody. So Darlene, my liver enzyme values are so abnormal. My doctor decided to forego treatment of digestive issues until it can prove it. So I'd like to know what. Yes, I think it's great to do the sweet spot. I wanted to say something more about that. If your liver enzymes are really high, it's a matter of why. Like, what is that stress? What is that toxic load that your liver is trying to deal with? And, you know, it's the old reducing the toxic load is the first most important thing. It's not what fancy liver cleanse program to go on. It's like, what's the load? And if that load is gone, then you have to restore the liver. But one of the things that helps a lot, and I'm sure if your doctor knows about this, I would say milk thistle is a really good one for just bringing those liver enzymes under control. So you may want to look at that. Please remind what the goals are with the blood sugar for the reset. I had my annual physical. Are there specific blood sugar lab tests we should ask for? Yeah, so that's Margaret from Maryland. The goals for the reset are, if possible, to keep your blood sugar 110 or below the whole time. Now, that said, those of you who are coming in who have already been diagnosed as insulin-resistant or diabetic and your fasting blood sugars are already over 100, there's no way. Well, there is way, and if you do, I want to hear about it, but everything's possible. But it's unlikely that at least initially you're going to have those numbers. That said, you can get there pretty quickly, and depending on how carefully you do all the components of it. So you want to keep it below 110. If you already have a fasting glucose above that, you've already been diagnosed with diabetes or insulin resistance and the sugars are high, try to keep the foods, just stick with the foods that don't raise it more than 20
25, and if you don't have any that you know, do that, if even lettuce raises at 25 or more, let's try for 30. So somewhere in that range. Ideally, no more than 20, but at most, no more than 30. Some people do really well with resetting with a water fast. I've had people do extended water fast, but even just short water fast. But again, that's something you'd want to discuss with your doctor, healthcare provider, you know, check it out and see how you feel. If you're one that gets real jittery, if you go 6 hours between meals, then I wouldn't recommend jumping into a water fast unless you're doing it supervised. There's Maya. Speaking of water fasting, Maya's the queen of water fasting. I would love you, Maya, someday to just add up, if you have a general idea of how many water fast days have you done in your life. I know you've done it 21 days, 10 days, you've done this and that. My guess is Maya's fasted probably a few hundred days in her life. Kathy, still jumping 40 to 60 from time to time. Except when I eat chia pudding with trays, it's at only 13. I tested the other food before the reset, but regularly going higher than 110, I start pretty low. So I would just say that, do I start the reset 21 days each time I go above 110? Here's the thing. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. Don't worry about do you restart it. When you get to the 30 days, when we're all getting to the 30 days, look to see. And if you haven't had more than, you know, 20 consecutive days of keeping it below 110 or keeping it 20 points or below, just keep going with it, right? And finding those foods, stick with the green foods as much as possible. It may take a longer for some people, and maybe you're only able to keep it below 130, and that's an improvement for you. Great. It's just so keep moving in the direction of where we want to take you. Denise says, my connection is bad. I'm terribly sorry, but I'm doing the best I can. I couldn't get it on the res. I'm on my cell phone, that's why. Are you hearing me okay, Susan?
Sorry, yeah. Yeah, I hear you fine. That was at the beginning when it was a little bit choppy.
Oh, it might have been when I called in and then I got knocked out. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is a question from Michelle at the top.
Okay, let's see.
I just started on Monday. I felt excessive fatigue since giving up my vices, as well as worse brain fog.
Yeah, okay. Let me see. Michelle. Huh. Oh, there it is. I just started on Monday. I felt excessive fatigue since giving up my vices, as well as worse brain fog. That's normal because you're giving up your vices and your brain's trying to function and switch into fat burning. Any comments? Normal. Totally normal. Also, my initial AM sugar readings are up to 124, now down to 94. Well, great. You're moving in the right direction. Yay. Let's say staying for berries the whole time, even if my numbers improve. Play with it, right? If you found that at first the berries raised it above 120 and now your fasting is down to 94, then play with it. Start with like a tablespoon of berries mixed in with, not blended, but, you know, at the same time as eating, having a green smoothie or a salad or something, and just see. Like if one time it goes up because you tested it, then you know you don't want to do it, right? And then play with it. I would say you don't have to necessarily. We already talked about the 110 and the 20 points. We just talked about that. Too tired to make or eat dinner. Don't want to eat late yet. I've been so hungry for hours up until bed and wake up starving. That's a good thing, though. If you're able to sleep, if you're able to go to bed hungry and wake up hungry, then you start your day with good food. Think about all the amazing stuff that's happening overnight. Your body's burning fat because you're hungry, right? It's trying to get you. So good. It's good stuff. Able to go from breakfast to lunch to dinner. Today I had to snack and was hungry after lunch as well. The scale has not dropped despite eating from 130. So the next day, what's wrong? Nothing's wrong, okay? Nothing is wrong. Just let's go through the process. We're 10 days in. We're 10 days into a 30-day reset. Let's just trust the process. Keep off the foods that are raising your sugars. If you find that certain days in between you're so hungry you can't stand it, guess what? Go into the menu plan, and I created something called the snack attack strategy. If anybody hasn't seen that, that's exactly what it's meant for. It's like, I'm really trying hard, but I can't make it. What do I do? And then you go through my snack attack strategy, and it teaches you, like, in priority order, what things you can do and what things you can eat. You're not going to be 100% perfect, and there may be days where you do, but don't go grab some bananas for the snack, right? That's going to screw up the whole thing. Well, it's not going to screw up the whole thing, but it's not going to be a great idea. But go ahead and use the snack attack strategy. Eat some celery sticks, right? Drink a green drink. Have some almond butter or guacamole with some jicama, right? Yes, and don't worry about the scale. It will happen unless it continues and your weight doesn't drop and you feel like you're really doing a good job. Go on to Chronometer or FitGay.com and just start putting in your foods and seeing if maybe you are overshooting on calories. And I'm glad I invested in this, as I was shocked that my sugar spiked. Yes, so you all, here's the thing. Like I said earlier about the piano playing, right? We don't start piano lessons and expect that we're going to be in a concert within the first 10 days. We have to keep going and practicing and practicing. We're resetting your metabolism. How long has this been a mess? I mean, it could be like decades, many decades that it's been a mess. So, yeah. The fitness bonus will not open again unless Maria gets generous and finds some extra time. She devoted, oh my God, like 30 hours of her time to giving us this bonus. I mean, she was so generous with this. She might, if you go to the website and you click the link, if it's still there, if she still has a couple of sessions scheduled, she'll take you in. She was trying to get them all filled before the certain deadline, and then she extended it because people missed it. But if you do miss this time, you know, as far as I know, it's not going to put Maria's been doing a lot. I have liquid ginseng. Is that allowed? Or they contain sugar label is in Chinese? Oh, all bets are off on that. I don't know. Check to see how it does with your sugar, with your blood sugar. Usually ginseng won't have sugar, but they will have probably glycerin or alcohol. And I'm taking this over, Susan. I realize that. I'm so sorry. I'm just such a control freak. If you want to keep going with some of these, go for it. I saved my voice.
No, it's okay. It's actually 9:30 my time. I'm starting to fade. However, I think Lauren is on. Somebody is on a phone call under Fort Wayne that just came on 9 minutes ago. I'm thinking it's her. Should we try it?
Try it.
Her hand's raised. Okay, you're unmuted.
Yeah, that's me. It's me.
Is it?
Hi.
It's Lauren?
Hello.
It's Lauren?
Yes,
it's
it is.
Lauren.
Yes.
Indiana, honey. We might have recognized that one.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm the one that's in the RV in San Diego, so you know.
Okay. So your cell phone's from Fort Wayne. All right.
Yeah.
Got it.
Sorry about that.
Hi.
Hi. Finally.
Yay.
Yeah, finally. I was the one that wrote in about bouts of low blood pressure and feeling terrible. And then, And one other thing. Oh, I cannot make it even 3 hours, 4 hours. I can make it some days.
Get the dinner.
4 hours.
Lightheaded.
Yes.
Okay.
And like, you know, I feel like I'm crashing. Feel like I'm crashing really bad.
Mm-hmm. Have you measured your sugar to see what's happening at the time when you're feeling like you're crashing?
Yeah, they're staying pretty stable. I expected that they would go lower, but they're really not.
Yeah.
Not below like 75.
Okay, so it's not like it's getting down to 45 and you're like, oh, yeah.
No.
But your blood pressure is going down, she said, as low as 102 over 70. Is that right?
In the 60s.
So it's not terribly low. It's actually a pretty healthy range. So there's something happening metabolically in between that.
My normal blood pressure is like 118 over 70-ish.
Mm-hmm. And then this started when you first started doing the dietary changes or when you first started the reset? Tell me about when it started.
I've been doing the reset pretty much since February 26th.
Okay.
And along with that, testing certain foods. But no, it's recent. It's a recent thing.
It's recent that it started to go down. And you didn't start on any, like, maybe you need to lower your magnesium.
Oh, I'm not taking it.
Oh, you're not taking it? Oh. What are you taking supplement-wise?
Nothing.
Nothing? So just food?
Yeah, just food.
Just food. Not on any medication that would lower it.
The only thing I wondered about was, like, a compounded thyroid medication. That's the only medication I'm on.
Okay.
I'm also still getting hot flashes occasionally, but I've had that forever and ever.
So here's what I want you to do, Lauren. I want you to go talk to your doctor about your thyroid dose and get your thyroid tested, because this can shift your thyroid need, and if you're over-medicated, that can cause that.
Yeah, I wondered about that. Okay,
yeah.
That's good news.
Yeah.
I want to get off of
yeah.
it.
Right. Absolutely. So have them test, but if they're testing, please have them do a full test. Have them do TSH.
Yeah, she does.
Total T4.
Mm-hmm.
Free T4 and free T3, as well as,
yeah.
Have you done antibiotics in the past?
Yeah, they always do all those. Yeah, I used to have Hashimoto's.
Okay,
I know.
Good.
I don't anymore.
Good. Get a full, because it reverses. We've had people reverse that within a few
okay.
months. So,
good.
You know, that could be the thing. And I've had people have had to go off their blood pressure medication after a short time. And even though you're not on blood pressure medication, you're on thyroid medication. So,
right. Yep.
Check it out.
Okay.
You might be.
Yeah.
Okay. Any complications?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely get your thyroid checked. Okay.
Okay. That sounds good. And what about
yeah.
the going between meals? Thing. Is that related?
How are you weight wise?
I mean, I eat a lot. I've lost 11 pounds since I started February 26th, and I have 14 to go to my ideal weight.
Okay, perfect.
140.
So here's the, if you're getting palpitations when you go too long, figure out what that time is, and then
okay.
do something from the snack attack strategy, like
okay.
just minimal. All right?
Yeah.
It could be that you go to your next meal, if that's okay with you. You go, okay, I'm just going to eat my next meal, I'll eat my next meal. But then you'll end up eating four meals a day. Or you
Which I do.
Okay. Which you do. Right. So just figure out what you need and make sure it's all in the low glycemic and don't worry about it.
We
can't follow necessarily, everybody can't follow every rule or every
right.
guideline. I don't like to call them rules because they're not. They're guidelines. So in your case, and I think there's probably some adrenal dysfunction
yeah.
going on.
Uh-huh.
And when you start to shift things a little bit, you are not in the production of adrenaline and cortisol as much, maybe. And
mm-hmm.
that was keeping you going, your energy and all that. And now you're going, oh, I can sleep more. Oh, I can rest more. Oh, my body isn't all stressed out anymore. And even if you're not mentally, emotionally stressed, physical stress,
uh-huh.
physiologic stress.
Yeah. Okay, that's
okay.
all good. Yep, thank you.
All right. Good talking to you.
I'm going to Peace Pies or that burger
right.
place.
Oh, yeah. Let's check it out. Have you been to what's that place? The
Yeah.
The
oh, I have. Yeah, I've been to the Co-op and Peace Pies, and they're both amazing. Mm-hmm.
I love them. And you have, but you
yep.
haven't been to plant-powered fast food, or have you have been there?
No, but we might go there tonight.
go check it out.
Yeah.
They're
okay.
so good.
All right. See ya.
All right. Love. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Lauren. Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
The burger bun that they use is not a bun. It's a cabbage leaf.
Wonderful.
And it's got this. The sauce is amazing. And, oh my God.
Oh,
my mouth is watering.
Making me hungry.
Okay, I think we're at the end. I mean, there's no more in the. I'm looking in the chat. Q&A.
Well, actually, Vera has a question. Vera tried to phone in, and her microphone wasn't working. So her question is, her BP began going low after she stopped eating grains and honey on the program. Should she reintroduce some brown rice and/or other grains?
how low is it and how bad is she feeling? And I'd wrap, you know, it just depends. It depends on, does she have, how high does her sugar go when she does that? It could be just an adaptation. And yeah, so quinoa would be what I would go with because it's less likely to raise it. Maybe some lentils because they don't tend to raise for most people. And see if that makes a difference. But, and then just look at the other components, right? It might be that he just needs to be sleeping more.
Okay. I'm going to post the True Roots website. They have sprouted grains, sprouted quinoa and lentils.
Oh, good. Yeah, those are good. Yeah.
There you go.
Those
okay.
are going to be much of a
good vegetable.
All right. And then, yeah, I think that's it. I see Janine wanted to know if muscle burning while exercising means that you're not in fat burning mode. I don't really think that they're related. I mean, if your muscles are burning while exercise, it means that you're exercising them. I mean, I go for the burn. You know that Tom says the statement, go for the burn. Elizabeth asked, can we eat chestnuts? I answered that on the last call, but it depends on how it works for your blood sugar. Can you take probiotics and digestive enzymes at the same time? I'd rather you take probiotics on an empty stomach, digestive enzymes with meals. And then, and that's what's asking about convenience foods. I answered that one.
Lisa just
And here's the thing. If everybody contributes to that, right, if you have your favorite convenience type thing. Oh, I found this amazing cauliflower rice at this place and it's got this and this and this. Post them and we can compile some of that. Did you have something? Sorry, I heard you start to say something as I was starting to say something too.
Yeah, Lisa just posted, should chia flax seeds always be hydrated and soaked before using or eating?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Otherwise, they're suck you dry. Okay, I think we got them all. I can't
finish
that because my chest is like empty. So thank you. Thank you, Susan. I appreciate you staying on so long. Holy cow, we were on for 2.5 hours. You are a trooper. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. It was fun.
Tomorrow, those of you who are one of the first 50, you get a call tomorrow. So it'll be a smaller call with 50 at the most people, but usually about half show up. And that'll be with, like, 4 coaches. So you'll have a good ratio of coaches to – and I won't be on that one. I'm going to be in class tomorrow. So enjoy that, and I'll be back next week and talk to you then. Have a great one. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. Much love, and keep going. You guys are doing amazing. All right. Bye.
Bye. Thank you, everybody. Good night.
Thank you.